The following is a special local sports presentation on 92.1 WVTK. This is Middlebury Union High School football. All season long, catch every game, home and away, as the Tigers defend their state championship. Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK is brought to you in part by
your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Virgins. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustace Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustace family of Brit Porch. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virgins. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Poulin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barry. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desiree's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And J.P. Carrera & Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
And now, with the call of today's game, here's Bjarke Sears and Marshall Hastings on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Well, at least he got half of it, right?
Got half of it. More things right. Change, more they stay the same.
Good evening, everybody, from Doc Collins Field here at Middlebury High School in Middlebury. It is time for the Division I semifinal action here at Middlebury High. Rich Haskell in for Bjarke Sears, and boy, I'll tell you, the pressure's on because I know he's listening, probably either from home or possibly from his hospital bed. If you didn't hear earlier, no reason to be alarmed by the fact that your morning news guy appears to be doing the Middlebury football game. apparently, Bjarke had a little accident Marshall, as far as a basketball pickup game yesterday.
He's still trying to keep the old primal athletics going. And, you know, in the hospital today, went under the knife at 12:30. So
knee,
patellar tendon. So I think we're allowed to reveal that. I know, you know, you're not supposed to do that for the athletes on the field.
Right, but so
I think
it's a lower body injury.
Yeah. But the athletes in the press box, I think, are allowed to be, you know, those injuries are allowed to be announced to the public.
It's so funny, though, in hockey, there's no such thing as a specific injury anymore. So he has a lower body injury.
Yes.
And he is on the disabled list, so you get the news guy doing the play-by-play tonight, along with Marshall Hastings, Rich Haskell with you here at Collins Field. And well, what can you say? All season long, I mean, the handwriting was on the wall, really, in Division I football for certain teams to end up matching up at some point deep into the playoffs. And we're talking Rutland, we're talking Hartford, and we're talking Middlebury. And finally, we get to see Middlebury play one of those two teams tonight.
It's great. You know, throughout the season, Bjarke and myself, we've been talking about who do you have to go through to win a state championship. And those are the three teams.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you're going to go through, if you're one of those three teams, you know that coming into the playoffs, you're going to have to play one or both of them to win a state championship. And we're in that situation that regardless, if Rutland's going to go on and win at Colchester, at home against Colchester, go to that state championship game, they're going to get the winner. You know, they're going to get Middlebury or Hartford. So you have to go through at least one of these guys. And now we get that matchup that, you know, a lot of people in Middlebury have just been waiting for. You look at the schedule, and Middlebury did the right things against the right teams. The South Burlingtons, the Rices, they played well, and they put up ugly numbers, and that's what you expected them to do against those teams. But now you get to see what they can do against a team that's top four, top three in the state. And finally, you know, if I'm on the Tigers' side, I'm licking my chops because all you've heard is you're undefeated. You haven't lost a game. 33 straight games. You haven't lost a game in 3 years. So 31, excuse me. And now you finally get a chance to play a team that has a loss, that has two losses, but yet for the long time of the season, Rutland and Hartford were above Middlebury based on QPR. They're out-of-state losses. You're coming in, you're saying, we're undefeated. This is that game. If I'm Middlebury, I'm licking my chops. Finally getting a chance to play that elite football team.
Right, and Hartford and Rutland are going, well, wait a minute. We played really good out-of-state teams, yeah. Especially Catholic Memorial in one case that wiped him out. But, yeah, it's so that's the thing. You know, here's the chance. It's put up or shut up time for both of these teams. It's going to be fun. I do the play-by-play up in Chittenden County for one of our sister stations up there and on Fridays and Saturdays, and I had a chance to do the Colchester-Hartford game last week. And I'll tell you, there is no secret about what they do. They take the ball, they hand it off, and they just go. It's 5 yards in a cloud of dust, and they will run the ball down your throat virtually every play. Don't know if that'll happen this time. Maybe there'll be an element of surprise. Colchester was the same thing, but last week they must have passed the ball 25, 30 mm-hmm. times. Didn't work. But this Hartford, you always think of Hartford, you think of offense, you think of putting up big numbers. But the two Hartford games I've done this year, they have yielded a grand total of 6 points. Did a game up at BFA about a month ago with Hartford. They won that one. I think it was 21-6. And, of course, last week they pitched the shutout, although I'll tell you, that score was Colchester had to be kicking themselves. They were in the red zone 5 times in that game, including 4 in the second half. They had first and goal, 2 separate drives in the fourth quarter of that game, could not stick it in the end zone. So Hartford, one of those defenses, based on what I've seen, that can bend, but it will not break.
Well, for the last decade and change, you know, Middlebury and Hartford football has been that. We're going to pound the ball down your throat, and we're going to play elite defense. And as these, you know, as football changes to this up-tempo, aired-out attack, Middlebury and Hartford, they haven't stayed in the prehistoric ages, but they have stuck to the tried and true, and that's what we're going to see tonight, like you mentioned. And it's going to be interesting, because Middlebury comes in with a stout up front. Nick Beauchamp, Wyatt LaBerge, and Bruce Wright in the middle. That's a threesome in the middle that has not allowed much of anything on the ground. Even when they're playing at Brattleboro, Check Jakite went for about $1.28, but it was on 30-plus carries. So this is a football team right now that's coming in that's prepared to stop the run, and then on the other side, you're getting the carbon copy of that in Hartford. These are two teams, like you said, they're both going to go up the middle. They're going to run up the middle. They're going to run up the middle with success. And then the other side of football, they're going to stop you from running up the middle. So it's going to be basically a battle of wills. Which is the one that comes out on top first? I mean, typically you look at, you know, a number one offense versus a number one defense. Who's, you know, what number one is going to be better? Here I think you're looking at a number one rush defense against a number one B rush defense. Right. And which rush defense is going to just give up a little bit more? Who's going to bend a little bit more at just the wrong time to lead this football team or lead their team to a victory in a semifinal?
And in a fall full of 67-38 kind of finals,
yep.
I think we're going to see much more of a 20-14 kind of
Absolutely.
Long, sustained running drives in a game like this. And boy, I can tell I'm in Middlebury. This obviously, I'm not here every week, so I don't get a chance to see him much. But the things I know as an out-of-towner coming in here on Friday night, the bagpipes, the wood smoke in the air, and just a great atmosphere here at Doc Collins Field. So very much looking forward to it. In for Bjarke Sears, I'm Rich Haskell, along with Marshall Hastings, as we get prepared. Coming up at the top of the hour in about 17 minutes or so, should be a great one. We'll have it for you. It's the Division I semifinals between the Hartford Hurricanes and the Middlebury Tigers. We'll continue to set the scene for this one from Doc Collins Field in just a moment on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
That's right, folks. It's the most wonderful time of the year, hunting season. This is Paul from Vermont Field Sports, where you'll find everything you need for a successful season. We are proud to carry Browning's full line of hunting, shooting, and outdoor products. If you're looking for the very best in over and under, auto-loading, and pump action shotguns, Browning has the gun for you. And our staff has the experience to help you choose. Check out Browning accessories like cases, shooting bags, knives, lights, and outdoor clothing. Vermont Field Sports, located Route 7 South in Middlebury, or visit us on Facebook at VT Field Sports.
Hi, I'm Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. We would like to congratulate the Middlebury JV and varsity football team on another undefeated regular season. Also, a big thank you to the coaches. Now it's time to put on your winter tires, do a custom winter service, and an oil undercoat your car. We are now using a fluid film rust inhibitor undercoating. Don't wait for snow. Call us at 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven, or mikesautomid.com. Remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Della Motorsports celebrates victory motorcycles with high performance.
Exhilarating experiences every week in the month of October.
Visit Della Motorsports to learn more
and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles.
DellaMotorsports.net.
Up to $2,000 rebate on victory and a 5-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models with rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, never ride under the influence.
Della Motorsports, 7 Della Drive, Plattsburgh.
Della Motorsports.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24-7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Back here at MUHS as we get ready for a long-awaited Friday night battle. Boy, I'll tell you, Marshall, these guys have a history, and you certainly know it. I'm sure you were right in the middle of it, but some streaks have been broken over the years, and I would think it's probably pretty safe to say Dennis Smith didn't want to remind the kids of just what that involves, because long streaks have been broken, mostly, I'm talking about a few years back where Hartford had won, two or three straight titles, and they come in with 27, 28 wins in a row.
27,
and,
yeah.
And you were there. You could talk more about that, but obviously that streak came to an end that night here at Doc Collins Field a few years back.
It was 3 years ago, the 27-game winning streak. The last loss had been in a monsoon for BFA, or at BFA for
right.
Hartford, a game in which they had six turnovers. It was right around that. It was my senior year, 2011. We were playing here, I remember that game, and you're standing on the field and you wished you were in that locker room. There was about 12 fans in the stands. There was headlights all around the field. People just sitting in their cars watching this football game. That night, that was the last loss for Hartford until they came to Doc Collins Field 3 years ago now and suffered that defeat. Ended the 27-game winning streak. So this is that football field that knows winning streaks come to an end on. But you got the same two teams that are dealing with it. The two longest streaks in Division I, as far as I know, and I know that Woodstock had a winning streak of 33 games,
right.
I believe it
Coach
was.
Coach McLaughlin never lost.
You're coming in here, and there is, like you said, Coach Smith is not going to bring up to this football team. The seniors on this football team were sophomores that year.
Yep.
And they were, a select few of them, were on that football field for that game. On the other side, you got some sophomores in Hartford that know the feeling of watching that 27-game winning streak end for those seniors. What was, an unbelievable run end at their senior year, an unbelievable way to end it. That's the kind of implication, that's the kind of emotion that this kind of game brings out, is when you got long winning streaks, you got the same team. I don't think, honestly, that there's a more fitting place to play this football game. If we were at a state championship game, I don't know if it would have that same appeal, that, Doc Collins Field, same field, same teams, some of the same rosters. That's what we get tonight, and that's exciting, and we don't get that a lot.
And let's face it, there's a little bit of pressure on the Middlebury seniors here, because these are guys, it's like the CVU girls programs. They go through their entire careers without ever losing in things like basketball, and, we're talking about up in Chittenden County, where you have certain dominating teams in certain sports. With some of these seniors, they don't want to look back on their career and go, we won those two titles, and it was great, but they don't want to be in that position, and it's going to come down to tonight and next week, hopefully.
Well, this is a senior class. If you talk to any of these guys, this is a senior class that has not really, approached it that way. They've gone into every game they've played, and they've played it, with this relentless, this isn't a 31 game. This isn't a 28 game
right.
winning streak that they're on. This is just game one. This is just a game. We're going 1-0 every week. You bring up a winning streak. We went up when they set the state or the school record at Colchester to come from behind win. They were down by 12 points. Trey Kaufman has a big fourth quarter, has three touchdowns in that fourth quarter. And you talk to him, you say, you just set the school record for most consecutive wins, and it was something that they don't approach as that. They're not thinking, hey, we want 32 tonight. They're just saying, we want to win this football game. We want to get back to Rutland, and we want to finish the job that we started, 8-9 weeks ago now, in the first weeks of preseason in August, down below the hill, you know, on those practice fields. That's what they're concerned about. And, you know, you've seen that. This is not a football team that's preparing themselves to try not to lose the winning streak and end their careers on a bad note. It's just a football team wanting to go do what every other football team in the state does and win a state championship.
You talk about that Colchester game, a squeaker, no doubt. Squeakers did not exist in this program for the last couple of years. I mean, how many 40 to nothing at the half kind of games did they have? And every team has it. Essex had it a year. I did all their games in the radio about 7 or 8 years ago, back when Labrizzi was the quarterback. It'd be 50 to nothing at the half every game. Hartford went through that phase. Now Middlebury has gone through it. But do you think it's a good thing that they have had some nail-biters? I mean, the opening game against Mount Anthony was close for a while. The BFA game was close for a while. Obviously, the Brattleboro game was pretty close for a while. Colchester, the Essex game was a seven-point victory. Is that a good thing to maybe understand that there's a chance you got to really work your butt off to win these games?
Well, I think if you look at last season especially, you look at that, you know, the Austin Robinson, Colin Hathaway, Bobby Ritter.
Juggernaut.
That was a football team that had, like you said, those 40, 50 nothing at half football games. And when they got to the state championship, they forced the St. Johnsbury team that put them to the limit. You know, two undefeated teams went in. Only one was walking out. And St. Johnsbury played them very well in that football game. Now, not to say they weren't prepared for a close football game, but there's a certain sense when you go in to a game and you know we've been blowing everyone out and it starts to get close, you don't know how you're going to respond. These guys know how they're going to respond. And you look at a lot of those games, I think Essex has one exception where the second teamers just went in about a drive too early and allowed Essex to sneak back into that, especially with an onside kick late in that football game. But this is a football team that knows fourth quarter, 3 minutes left, we got the ball, they got the ball. They know that feeling. And that goes a long way when you are playing a football team like Rutland, who's had a lot of success in the last couple of weeks, blowing a lot of teams out. They kind of are on that path. You know, they're one out-of-state loss, but they're on that path where they're blowing everybody out. They're up comfortably. When you go into a football game and you're down or you got to play late and you're used to doing that, that mentality goes a very long way that you can't just translate into paper or on the practice field saying, hey, we got to play four quarters. They say, we've played four quarters. We can do it again. We're going to do it right now. And that goes, like you said, a long way.
And as far as the Hurricanes go, the only reason they're here tonight on the road is because they lost to Rutland at home two weeks ago in what I thought was a shocker. And I was in White River last week doing that game against Colchester, so had a chance to talk to some folks involved in that game. They were up 20 to nothing in that game. They're at home. The crowd's psyched. Everybody, you know, it looks like they're going to cruise. And all of a sudden, the defense just disappeared. Rutland got the passing game going, and we know what that's like. And Middlebury, hopefully, if they can get by this game, we'll have a chance to encounter that passing game next week at Rutland. What I've seen of them, their defense has been almost impenetrable, at least in the red zone, but they can be had. And I think if Middlebury's patient and just keeps that running game going, they should be fine. But again, every point is going to count in this. We're not seeing 40 nothing at the half tonight.
I think it's going to be first team to 24 tonight. I think that's going to be the key. And like you said, both rush defenses are, you know, elite to a certain extent. And Rutland is kind of the anomaly of the three, you know, of the big three. It's more of an aired out attack, more athletic football. And that's not to say Hartford and Middlebury aren't athletic. It's just more of a, you know, down home, whoever wins in the trenches is going to win the football game. We're going to see that. And it's going to be a battle of wills in the offensive and defensive line. It's going to be fun to watch.
The Tigers coming in at 9-0, coming off of a victory last week here at the field, 38-12 against St. Johnsbury. And Hartford comes in at 7-2. Their loss, the aforementioned Rutland game. They also lost an out-of-state game at Catholic Memorial down in the Boston area, 27-0 earlier. They got here with a 20-0 victory at home last Friday night against Colchester. We'll see what happens. Should be fun. It's 2-3. The winner heads to the championship for Championship Saturday at Rutland High School next week. We'll come back with the starting lineups coming up here in just a moment on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
When it comes to snowmobiling, it's always better to ride more. Well, a great place to start is by heading to Champlain Valley Motorsports right away, where you can check out the whole line of the 2016 Arctic Cat snowmobiles. Share your passion for the sport of snowmobiling and pick up a new sled and enjoy the beauty of what Vermont offers this winter. They have the model you want with a great selection of 2- and 4-stroke engines. If you want to do more cruising, then you need to ride an Arctic Cat ZR7000 LXR. Its performance and luxury features will have you smiling mile after mile. If you're a racing animal, this year's ZR Snow Pros and Limiteds are scratching at the door, ready to get outside and blow away the competition. Looking for the perfect crossover? The XF Series will take you anywhere your spirit leads. The trails are calling. So hurry to Champlain Valley Motorsports today on Route 30 in Cornwall. Hop on a new Articat sled. Get out there and ride more. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and drive. Articat, share our passion.
My grandfather once said, "People who care build something that people care about. It's not an easy process, let me tell you. But if you take it one brick at a time, the result can be outstanding." Hey, everybody, it's Alan Buzz Busby from Poulin Auto Sales and Service. And my grandfather was right. You've got to build something that people care about, or it's not even worth it. Over the past year, we've gone through a lot of changes. We've restructured. We're listening to you. We're working with folks, making good deals, good honest deals, changing lives. It's a process, and it definitely takes time. At Poulin Auto Sales and Service, we're building something great, something that our customers care about, and we're inviting you to share in our success. So buy your next pre-owned car or truck at Poulin Auto Sales and Service on Shelburne Road in South Burlington or Eastbury Road in Barrie. Change really is good. Poulin Auto Sales and Service, changing the way you feel about buying a car.
Now back to the field for more Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
Welcome back to Doc Collins Field for the semifinal matchup. Hartford Hurricanes here visiting the Middlebury Tigers. We have the starting lineups here for you as we approach just 3.5 minutes away from kickoff. And we'll start with the visiting Hartford offense up front. Jason Bilecki, Kant Two, Bailey Knott, Justin Pirro, and Tanner Potter man the trenches. In the backfield, a three-headed monster of Brett McLaurin, Walker Judd, and Hunter Judd. Outside, we got Jack Wozniak and Brandon Gaudet. And under center for the Hurricanes, senior Bryce Landon. To the other side of the football for the Tiger defense. Up front, Jerry Nemo and Brady LaRocque on the edges. Wyatt LaBerge, Nick Beauchamp, and Bruce Wright man the trenches up inside. Sawyer Ryan and Chris Greer at the linebacker position. In the secondary, Andrew Gleason and Jack Honchel at the cornerback positions. And back at safety, Oakley Gordon and Ali Abdul-Sada for a football team in Middlebury that hasn't lost in 3 years, running a 31-game winning streak into this football game. Of course, we just talked about the 27-game winning streak of Hartford ended 3 years ago at the hands of these Tigers here at Doc Collins Field.
Yeah, and I'll say it again. There's no secret about their offense. Landon is going to stay under center, and you got Hunter Judd, you got Walker Judd, and you got Brett McLaurin. They've all had big games all season long. McLaurin went off for 119 yards and a touchdown and just 12 carries in the win over Colchester. The two Judds, one of them a junior, Hunter Judd, the other one the senior, Walker Judd, will get plenty of carries. And it's like the guy who throws the 98-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle, and he says, go ahead, try to hit it. I mean, that's really what this Hartford offense is. You know what they're going to do. It reminds me a little bit, as we drop down a division, of Bellows Falls. They run. If they need to pass, they will. And I think you have two very similar offenses here. And if nothing else, it should make for a fairly quick game. But I'll tell you, that may not be the case, because one thing for the Hurricanes that has been a huge bugaboo, especially in the last couple of weeks, are penalties. I mean, the laundry on the field in the first half of that game against Colchester last week was just absurd, how many penalties they took. To their credit, nothing in the second half, but it really affected their ability to get the ball down the field in the first half.
And this is a Tiger football team that a lot of the times when teams do that, when they kind of get down the field and start kicking themselves in the foot, Middlebury will take advantage of that. You look at South Burlington now, that ended up being a lopsided score. But South Burlington early in that football game had some opportunities to kind of make it interesting. And Middlebury was able to, when those penalties started hitting, you know, kind of keep the foot on the throat, keep the gas pedal down, similar to the opening week game against Mount Anthony, similar kind of scenario. This is a football team in Middlebury. The key for them is going to be, are they going to be able to effectively run the counter? And that's something, it's a triple option football team. But when the counter is working for Middlebury, this is a tough offense to stop. They got a great offensive line, a very athletic offensive line, a lot of returners from last year's team, and a very athletic and deep backfield with Ali Abdul-Sader, Oakley Gordon, Trey Kaufman, and Jerry Nemo. And then, of course, you got going up the middle, Corlin Fisher. So this is a football team in Middlebury that likes to run, runs the ball effectively. If they can do that with the counter, that's been the key that we've been talking about all season. When the counter works, this offense works, and that's going to be the big thing. If Hartford can slow it down, this game is going to be real interesting.
And the winner gets to go to Rutland High School, maybe against Rutland. In fact, if things play out here, it's the 1-5 matchup, and the other game is CVU with that big, not a huge surprise. It was the 5-4 matchup. They won down in Brattleboro last week, but they are really going to have their hands full with the Raiders tonight.
They are. And, you know, I think that that's got to be exciting. If I'm a football team coming out of this game, if I'm Hartford or Middlebury, you say, hey, we get to go to a state championship game literally on the road where the home team, right, if Rutland were to win, would be playing at their home field. There'd be no sweeter sensation than taking down a football team in the state championship on their own field.
Right.
I can't just imagine a sweeter fruit to bite into.
Yeah,
and that's where they got an opportunity.
And I hate to get so far ahead, but wouldn't that be something, you know, Middlebury coming in with what would be then, what, a 32-game winning streak at Rutland.
Right.
So much animosity there. So many kids, especially from Rutland, that have been beaten up their entire career by this Tiger team. As we said earlier in the very beginning of the pregame show, they haven't played each other. It was sort of a weird year because it wasn't just Middlebury and everyone else. You couldn't just say, well, it all goes through Middlebury, because there was these two other teams sort of floating around,
yeah,
and not losing in Hartford and Rutland. And the problem was they weren't playing each other.
Right.
So now we had Rutland-Hartford a couple weeks ago. That was fun. But finally, for the Tigers, they get to play one of those other two powerhouses.
Yeah, and it's been basically three mercenaries, essentially just stalking through Division I, taking everybody out. Then you get Hartford and Rutland come together for their big matchup, and kind of Rutland able to rally back for that win. But Middlebury's kind of this dark horse in that aspect, going around beating everybody, doing what they're supposed to be doing against some lower-ranked teams, and now they get that chance against a 3-seed in Hartford, a football team that wants to do nothing more than end a 31-game winning streak.
And over in Division II tonight, also, we'll have Burlington and Bellows Falls, the 3-2, and Milton goes to Burn Burton tomorrow down in Manchester as we get ready for this one. The color guard is coming out onto the field here at Doc Collins Field at Middlebury Union High School, and we're getting ready to start this one up. So stick around. We'll come back with a kickoff, what should be a great game in Division I semifinal action here in Middlebury. It's up next on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Desabray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk grade dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available, as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury. There are many banks to choose from. There's just one which truly puts personal service first and foremost. That's One Credit Union in Vergennes. The people at One Credit Union specialize in making your banking an easy and positive experience. Add in their very competitive lending rates, low-fee banking services, and the many electronic banking options with 24/7 access to your accounts, you'll see why One Credit Union is gaining new customers every day. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. You'll like to doing business with them. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA. Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger football.
If it's Tiger football, it's on WVTK, Fort Henry, Ticonderoga, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. This is where the Middlebury Tigers play, 92.1 WVTK.
Back here at Doc Collins Field as we get ready for Division I semifinal action. The winner heads to Rutland to face either Rutland or CVU next Saturday for Championship Saturday. Quite the crowd here, Marshall, including the other side. I've been to quite a few games here. I've never seen the other side packed, at least not in recent years, because I think the other fans traveled up here knowing full well what was going to happen. But this one, a little bit of doubt, and I think that's a great thing.
Absolutely, and certainly, you know, Tiger football is no stranger to big crowds, certainly, especially postseason games, something this home crowd has gotten used to over the last, you know, decade plus. These semifinal games with a lot on the line. The last home game that Doc Collins' lights are going to be on for the year, and certainly the big crowds continue to come out, and no bigger stage than for this rematch, or the first matchup of this rivalry, the first edition of this rivalry, rather, for this season, and really with no bigger, you know, cake on the line, so to speak.
Middlebury won the toss. They have elected to receive. They will be moving left to right on your radio dial. Hartford will kick off going right to left in their road white with blue numbers, white pants, a little bit of red trim. Middlebury, of course, in their familiar home, black with orange and white trim. So we're all set to go. Great to have you along here on WVTK. Rich Haskell once again in for Bjarke Sears, who has a bum knee. Let's put it that way. Went under the knife today and wasn't able to do the game, so I appreciate the calling me in as a short kickoff, sort of a quasi-onside kick, and let's see, there's a scramble for it down by the 30-yard line and a break there from Middlebury as it ended up, I believe, going out of bounds. But we have seen so much of that stuff. It's an onside kick, sort of.
Well, that was an interesting, you know, play, and I like the play call by Hartford to kind of pull that off, but a miscommunication by Middlebury. They figured the ball was just going to bounce out of bounds, and they're very fortunate that Cody Smith for Hartford didn't come down and pick that one up right along the sideline. Middlebury looked like they just wanted to let that bounce out of bounds for a re-kick and potentially get the ball at the 35. Now they get the ball at the 33, but with a lot of luck.
So your senior quarterback, Oakley Gordon, has him out. He had a big game in the win against St. Jay last week. It'll be first and 10 for the Tigers. The game's first play starts at the 31-yard line, and it's a keeper by Gordon. He falls forward off right tackle for about 3 yards out to the 36-yard line. It'll be second and 7 now for Middlebury.
Tiger Football on 92.1 brought to you by Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike's Auto online at mikesautomid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com.
Oakley Gordon, no stranger to keeping the ball. Ran for 284 yards and 5 touchdowns this season for Middlebury, and he carried the first one for a gain of 4, as it turns out. First play of the game yields 4 yards. Second play is a handoff. It goes over to Cortland Fisher. Big hole, left side, still at his feet, into Hartford territory. 40, 35, finally driven out of bounds. Inside the 30, down to about the 28-yard line, and that is just Fisher getting through a beautiful hole on that left side and getting it done.
That's a great work by the offensive line there. They run the triple option to the left side, and a great read first off by Oakley Gordon, seeing that the defensive end is creeped out, but a fantastic job on the offensive line. Wyatt LaBerge gets next level, seals the linebacker in, opening up that hole for Fisher.
Fisher the lone setback now. Gordon calling signals under center, first to 10 for the Tigers, and he's going to hand it off actually to Fisher again. He pulls his way forward, takes a couple of hurricanes on his back all the way inside the 20. He'll call it the 19-yard line. Interesting, after a long bruising run like that, they go right back to him. A lot of times you want to give him a break, but not that time, and now we have a no-huddle offense. And the lone setback once again is Cortland Fisher. And he's going to take another one. And oh, yes, it is. This is a deceptive offense when you haven't seen it all year. I'm going to have to be on my toes. Great fake there. Obviously, Gordon very good at that. He gave it to Fisher, and he ran right into a brick wall at about the 24-yard line.
Good work by the Hartford offense, defensive line there. They get most off. They get the read key inside, but at the same time, next level comes up and able to seal the hole, not allowing Fisher to get down through to the linebacker level.
So 3 straight carries for Fisher. He's the lone setback now. Under center is the quarterback, Oakley Gordon, on 3rd and 3. And Gordon keeps it. And play action, decides to keep it, and he will fall short by a couple of yards. Good work by the right side of that line defensively for the Hurricanes. And Gordon is down at the 21-yard line and not getting up for Middlebury.
And this is a football team here in Middlebury that hasn't dealt with a lot of injuries. They lost Jack Honchel early in the season to that hip flexor injury, but he's back in the lineup, and this is possibly the worst-case scenario here, just less than 2 minutes in to the first half of football here in the semifinals to take your quarterback down. But Gleason, a backup that's had a lot of experience this season in some spot situations, we'll see what happens now, though.
Yeah, and that's immediately where they are going to Andrew Gleason's. Dennis Smith immediately started talking to him as down on the play. It was a hard hit. It looked like Gordon may have lost his balance right before he got hit, but they're checking him right now. Looks like lower body's lying right at the 20-yard line. That's where the ball is as well. The play itself that's coming up will be about a 4th and 2, but that is the least of the concerns for both the Middlebury team and certainly for their fans.
And it looked like on that carry, Oakley Gordon had his right leg kind of get caught up underneath one defender as they went low, and the next defender coming in from the linebacker level was able to go high and just rolled up. You're good to see Oakley Gordon not writhing in pain and now walking off under his own power. And you got to think eventually if adrenaline can take over, he'll be back out there. But certainly now a big down 4th and 3 with your backup quarterback in, we'll see how Middlebury responds.
Yeah, first drive and a big play. Boy, nothing like getting thrown right into the fire for Andrew Gleason. Like you said, this is not new for him, but boy, you come in on a fourth and two, pretty much in the red zone. So a big play coming up right here. Obviously, the Tigers are going for it. As they look over to the sideline, the near sideline, of course, for the home games. Middlebury always here on the near sideline. And here we go. Gleason under center, one man in the backfield. That is Fisher. Calling signals. They fake the handoff. They give it this time on the left side to Kaufman, looking for first down yardage. He is going to get bottled up. Forward progress gives him nothing. In fact, they drove him back 4 or 5 yards. And how about that stand after the long run by Cortland Fisher on the game's second play? But I said it in the pregame show, Marshall, that's exactly what Hartford did last week several times. They bend, but that once it gets to the red zone, it's a different ball game for them.
Tigers try to go to the counter action there, and it doesn't work. And we talked about in the pregame, that was going to be the key for Middlebury. If the counter can get going for the Tigers, this offense is tough to stop. Great way in pursuit there for the Hartford Hurricanes defense to do exactly that. Bend, don't break, prevent the counter from going for big yards.
First and 10 now, first play from scrimmage for the Hartford Hurricanes goes to Judd over the right side. Not much there, maybe a yard out to about the 21-yard line. Bryce Landon is the senior quarterback for this team. Hunter and Walker Judd are in the backfield. Brett McLaren, a name you'll hear a lot as well tonight. He's had some big games, including last week in the win over Colchester with a touchdown and 119 yards.
These two football teams are carbon copies of one another, both great defenses and both run-based offenses, and it's just going to be whoever gives in first is going to be the winner of this football game.
Landon calling signals, fakes the pitch over to the right side, gives it straight up the middle to Hunter Judd, who gets very little, maybe out to about the 25, a couple more yards, and just like that, Hartford's going to be backed up with a third and about 5 or 6 here.
Now, even though Middlebury does stall out there inside the 20-yard line, the long run essentially is able to flip the field for the Tigers. Yep. If they're able to force a punt here, they should be able to get the ball back right around their own 40-yard line on the punt. So the only positive you can take from that stalling drive in the red zone is the fact that if your defense can hold, you're still going to have good field position.
And this is a game you expect field position to mean a lot.
Absolutely.
No question about it. So here we go. It'll be a third and 5, certainly not in 4-down territory here. The pitch out comes to McLaren around left side, tries to turn it in, and there is nowhere to go. Great work over on the right side by that defensive line, and the cornerback turning the play in as well for the guys in black, and Hartford's going to have to punt it away.
Now you mentioned that Andrew Gleason does a great job coming up from the cornerback position, does a great job knowing that no one can get outside of him as Hartford goes to the two tight end set, forces the back inside, and then it's a great job from Brady LaRocque to be right there waiting for him. Ali Abdul-Sater coming up from the safety position to make the stick as well. But that starts with Andrew Gleason on the perimeter sealing it in.
The punter is Cody Smith. It's a high kick, and he kicks it a mile in the air. The wind has died down, so it's going to be a pretty nice kick if he gets a bounce, and he will as it heads to about the 44-yard line. So you mentioned field position here, Marshall, and Middlebury has it. It'll be a first and 10 Tigers. Their second possession will start at their own 44-yard line.
Tiger Football 92.1 brought to you by the National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage in life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes. And like you said, this is going to be field position, and if you can stay on the positive tilt of that, the Tigers are going to be able to get some late scores or early scores even, and it's going to be based on how well their defense can give them and set them up for field.
And Gleason is back in under center, and he's going to hand the ball off on a sweep, looking for running room, slipping, losing his footing, and taking about a 4-yard loss on the play is Nemo. Just absolutely nowhere to go. Again, turning the play in here on the near side in the secondary. There was nowhere for him to go, and he slipped, which certainly didn't help.
That's a second straight counter that the Tigers have tried to run with little success there. Unable to get the perimeter, unable to create that hole for Nemo to run through, and that's why he's dropped for a loss of 3 there. He does slip, but there was nowhere to go if he had his footing.
Yeah, they were waiting for him on the sweep near side. So Gleason calling signals now on 2nd and 13. Kaufman goes in motion. They fake to the pitch to him, and keeping the ball and looking for the pass is Gleason. Has a man, throws it short, and did he come down with it? No, it hit the ground intended for Brady LaRocque was there. The pass was very short, but that almost worked to their advantage there, Marshall. LaRocque was smart enough to see with the trajectory, came back, and had a shot at that ball.
And the Tigers were looking for a pass interference on the sideline, but I didn't see it there. That's a good no call. And I like the Tigers going to the air early. Andrew Gleason able to get to the perimeter and loft one up. Like you said, a dangerous high ball, but it did allow LaRocque to come back to it, unable to come in, nearly had it as it bounced off his shoulder pads.
So a third and 13 now at the Middlebury 40-yard line, 7:17 left to go here in the first quarter. No score. The handoff. No, Gleason's going to keep it. Has some room. Will he get enough for a first down? Backing into first down territory. It looks like he needed to get to the Hartford 47, and that's about where it is, and this is going to be very close.
Looks to be about maybe a yard short right now, and it'll be an interesting decision for the Tigers if you want to go for it. Certainly, if you don't get it, the field position battle is flipped, but if you can get this and create some early momentum, it does look like they're going to go to the punt formation. Yeah. However, you can't argue that decision. As we talked about, field position is going to be the battle today, and to able, you know, you don't want to give it up this early when you already are on the positive end of it.
And, of course, with Gordon out with the injury, you not only lose your quarterback, but you lose your kicker and punter, too. So junior Doug DeLorenzo is going to boot it out, standing at his own 40-yard line. I agree with his call from Coach Smith. I think this is the right thing to do. As you said, in a game like this where field position is so important, you don't want to lose it. Flags fly, maybe too much time. We'll see.
Yeah, this is going to be a delay of game here, and that's going to back the Tigers up 5 yards. They're going to be punting now from about their own 49-yard line, 48-yard line, rather than the 47 of Hartford. But regardless, you know, that doesn't often, you know, when you're punting like that, you know, we're not looking at professional coffin corner punters. It doesn't always hurt to have to punt it to 5 more yards. Give yourself a little bit more room to kick with.
So once again, DeLorenzo in for Oakley, who is standing down below us and has a wrap around his right knee. Now the kick's going to come from about the 35-yard line. It's a perfect snap. The kick is out. It is a short line drive, but it is into no man's land. It's going to go out of bounds at the Hartford 31-yard line, and that's where the Hurricanes will set up shop. First and 10 with 6 minutes and 21 seconds left to go. So far, exactly what we thought it would be, just a battle of the trenches and hope you can break a long one. Middlebury did, and that's the reason why they're winning the field position game so far.
Yeah, and you look at that last drive, they lose 3 on first down, but they were able to make up 12 of it. So I think the Tigers right now, they're having a little bit of success. It's sporadic, so if they can get consistent on their long runs, this is a football team that right now has a little bit of confidence, you got to think, on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and it's punting is going to become an important part of this game, because the way it is going right now, there's going to be plenty of it. As Landon hands the ball off to Judd, but the flags fly before he can do anything. And the referee is going to talk it over at the 22-yard line and see what they come up with. I think this one's going to come back for Hartford.
And you mentioned the penalties, you know, being the big key here. And Hartford is going to shoot themselves in the foot on first down, going to bring up a first and 15. If Middlebury is going to have to be that football team like we talked about earlier as well, you know, a team that if you start shooting yourself in the foot, we got to take advantage of them. They're not going to allow you to make up those 5 yards in one play. So if Middlebury can answer the bell right now, force these mistakes to matter for Hartford, that's going to really go a long way in figuring out what defense, what offense is going to be successful.
And it was interesting because Hartford was two completely different teams last week, half to half against Colchester. They had 12 penalties in the first half, none in the second. So you figured maybe Coach Matt Trombley's team had figured it out, but they pick up their first one right there. Handoff is going to go to Judd, and there is not much there, if anything. Gleason was in on the play. A couple of other guys in black shirts. Judd had nowhere to go on that one.
And great work there up the gut from Nick Beauchamp and Wyatt LaBerge. Like we talked about in the pregame, that's two-thirds of the Tiger front seven that is just absolutely fantastic, with Bruce Wright being the third nose guard for the Tigers. This is a football team that does not allow anything up the gut on the ground, and tonight he's proven to be the same, as they just are able to stand up in the line, stand up in the holes, and not allow this Hartford Hurricane offensive line to create any movement on the offensive front.
Walker Judd, the lone setback, and play action left side, scrambling at right side, actually, as the quarterback Landon looks for a man, but he undershoots his intended receiver. Still would have been short of a first down by 5 or 6 yards, but it's incomplete. And once again, Middlebury's defense standing strong. They have given up absolutely nothing here in the first half of the first quarter defensively.
And it's a very unique defensive line. You got at the end, you got Jerry Nemo and Brady LaRocque, who bring that athleticism to the field. But then up the middle, Bruce Wright, Nick Beauchamp, and Wyatt LaBerge bring this kind of pounding type of football game. So they're able to not only be able to beat you with speed on the perimeter, but beat you with strength up the middle as well.
So Cody Smith splits over to the near side. No one over on the far side. In motion goes Tyler Hamilton out of the shotgun for the first time tonight. Has landed back at his 20. The left-hander looking to pass. Throws. It is completed. Nice pass to Cody Smith. Don't think it's enough for a first down, though. He's going to be about 2 yards short, as Gleason was in on the coverage there and stuck him right before he could turn around and get that first down. So we'll see what they do here, but I would assume Hartford's going to have to kick this one away.
Yeah, and you talk about Tigers having to deal with a big fourth down decision on the last drive. Now Hartford's faced with the same one, and frankly, it doesn't look like they're bringing out the punt team. So facing about a fourth and 1.5 yards, it looks like they're going for it, and this is an opportunity for Middlebury, and we're talking field position, to take full advantage.
Yeah, and it's a long one. They have to get to about the almost the 42, and the ball's sitting right at the 40. In fact, they just moved it back a few inches, which can't make Hartford too happy. The referees went in there as they are going for it. Judd with the carry, and he bounces off one tackle, and I think he got enough as Walker Judd looked like he was going to get nailed for no gain, and the ball was going to go back. He bounced right off of the first hit for Middlebury and picked up the first down on a great second effort for the Hurricanes.
And that's a great first down run, and that's big, because if they don't get that, they're looking at looking on the defensive side of the ball on their own 40-yard line. Jack Conchell does a great job coming up in a hard stick on the ball carrier, but 3 yards too late, and Hartford now with a little bit of confidence created here with 5 minutes left in the first quarter.
Boy, Matt Trombley, the coach, talk about confidence in your offensive line on a play like that. That's huge. As Judd goes in. The other Judd with a big carry, open left side, 40. It's a foot race, 30, 20. He gets caught, but he gets down to the 13-yard line. Finally knocked out of bounds by Abdel Sader, but a huge gain and no flags. And Hartford now in business with 4:55 left to go at the 13-yard line.
And that's a great little iso action there from Hartford. And they get Judd up inside. And all it is, they're going to basically seal to the right side, open up that left lane. And Judd does a great job of getting onto the left side of his blocker's tails and get through there. And that's where they basically plan that run. It's going to be a little bit of trap iso action. And when he hit that hole, there was no one sitting there waiting for him.
And we're going to have a timeout. The officials are going to call a timeout here. And now they say start the clock again. They say timeout, but start the clock anyway. Not sure I've ever seen that combo.
I have not.
So we're right back to it. No timeout there. Landon under center. First and 10 for Hartford at the 13-yard line. The handoff goes right side to Tyler Hamilton. His first carry gets him about 3 or 4 yards. Inside the 10. Well, they'll mark it right at the 10-yard line.
Tiger Football on 92.1 brought to you by LaBerge Insurance for all your insurance needs, Washington Street in Middlebury, and by Poulin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barry.
So a game full of big plays. We've seen one for each side, and see if Hartford can put up the first points of the game. As Middlebury had a chance but could not convert, Landon sends a man in motion, hands it off. Second man through is Hunter Perkins. His first carry, not much there. Good work on the left side of the Middlebury defensive line.
And very similar to the play that Judd was able to break that got them down inside the 15 here. They run a trap to the fullback, and this time Middlebury doesn't bite. They do a great job tailing in from the backside. And then on play side there is where Perkins is trying to go. They're able to fill from the linebacker level, make sure that there's no room for Perkins to get going and get some footing going, and that's why now we're looking at 3rd and 6.
So McLaren is in. Justin Koloski also in there for the first time. The handoff goes in, moving forward and not getting much. McLaren, and again, standing strong, the Middlebury defensive line. They are just manhandling Hartford up front, at least in the last couple of plays, after Hartford burst through the line for that long gain by Judd to get him in this spot. But now you're looking at a 4th and 4 at the 8-yard line.
And it looks like as Hartford's going to bring out their field goal unit, but this Middlebury defense, what they're doing is on the offensive and defensive line is they're not allowing the offensive line to push them downfield. They're sitting on the line, and there's no hole, so by the time the back gets to the line, there's no hole to go through as the defense is filled, and now second pressure comes.
And they put Walker Judd as the lone setback, looking to pass, play action, the left-handed quarterback throws incomplete, and Middlebury holds in the red zone. Had a man, but he couldn't hold on to it. And Middlebury holds after a 1st and 10 at the 15-yard line, and we still have a nothing-nothing game.
And you want to talk about, you know, there was a drop ball, but McLaren ball could have been a little bit better off of Landon's hands. Just behind the receivers, he has to jump up, go behind his head really to catch that football, so you like a little bit better throw. But now that's two defensive stands of bend, don't break, and this is two defensive philosophies that these defenses have. Bend, don't break, get to the 15, but don't get any further.
Now Middlebury deep in their own territory, and they're going to hand it off to Abdel Sader. He has some running room, picks up some pretty good yardage, gets away from the shadow of that Middlebury goal line out to the 10-yard line. only about three or four, but that's important on first down, and they'll have a second down in about six now at their own 10.
And there's going to be no bigger first down in this football game for Middlebury up to this point than this one right here. They need to get a first down so that by the time they're kicking it, Hartford's not getting the ball with confidence on the 50-yard line. So you need a first down here with second and seven.
Gleason's still in at quarterback. Sends Kaufman in motion, keeps it, almost got wiped out, but I guess his foot or his knee touched the ground, and the ball is dead right there, and that's going to be a loss back to about the 7 or 8 yard line. So, well, let's see where they put it down. They're putting it at the six. Yeah, it's the last thing they wanted right there. As you just mentioned, a huge first down needed here, and they went backwards on that play.
And it doesn't. I wouldn't say that the loss right now of Oakley Gordon is affecting the offense as much as this Hartford defense is affecting the offense. They're doing a great job getting pressure and eliminating all the options for Andrew Gleason in that triple option scheme.
So it's a 3rd and 9. Gleason under center. They send a man in motion. It's Avril Sater, and he gets it. Up the middle. Plenty of room. First down. He's carrying Hartford players all the way out to the 30-yard line. First down for the Tigers.
And this is a great ISO play here for the Tigers. They do a great job getting Avril Sater up the middle, and they now seal the linebackers to the right side of the offense, and Abdul Sanders does a great job. One cut now to the left, frees that up, gets the first down and some, and no bigger first down in this game like we talked about than that one right there for Middlebury.
Absolutely, especially on a 3rd and 9, and otherwise you're punting from your own end zone in a low-scoring, potentially low-scoring game like this. That was a huge run. Back to pass now. Gleason looking long, has the man, and incomplete, and a flag on the play. The pass was intended for number 85, which I don't have.
That's
on
95,
here.
Sawyer Ryan.
Oh, it is 95.
Receiver.
I'm sorry.
There's a flag down. It looks like it's going to be pass interference on the defense, but frankly, I thought that Tyler Hamilton's defense for Hartford was spot on. He's looking back for the football. He's not pulling on Sawyer Ryan and does a great job at the last second, leaping up and batting that ball away. Now, Tigers are going to be fortunate. They're going to get that 15-yard penalty. Going to get the ball at the 44-yard line, so they'll take advantage of it, but frankly, I think that's a missed call. I thought that was great defense from Hamilton. Tigers are going to look out and in a football game where two defenses are going to, you know, rule the day, one penalty that rather should have or should not have been called could be the difference early on in this game.
Yeah, and Ryan had a step on him, but he did a good job coming back. Gleason threw him a nice pass. It was a really good pass and a beautiful play by the defense, but apparently may have pushed off early in that play, but I certainly didn't see it towards the tail end of the play, and that's a nice break for the Tigers. Again, it's interference, but not from the spot of the foul. It's a 15-yard penalty, but it does give Middlebury another first down at their own 44-yard line. Kaufman goes in motion. They get it to Abdul Sater, and he's wrapped up, picks up, maybe falling forward about 2 yards over the 45 to the Middlebury 46-yard line, setting up a 2nd and 8 as we head into the last minute of play in the first quarter of a scoreless game.
And that, again, this counter is not working right now for Middlebury. Full credit to the Hartford defense. They're not allowing Middlebury to get those pulling guards and tackle into position to open up the lane. And we're going to see how often Middlebury is going to go back to that, because when this counter is working, this offense is effective. But so to this point, it's about 6 yards on 3 carries.
Parker Gross now the man in the lone setback, and he gets the carry, and not much there. He headed left side off left tackle, maybe a yard up to about the 47-yard line for Middlebury, and that's it. So we told you what was going to happen in this game pregame, and boy, it has been, with the exception of a couple of pass attempts. It is just grind it out and dig up the dirt and do what you can. This is classic old-time football with 22 seconds left to go here in the first.
And if this first quarter doesn't just epitomize it, it shows just how much field position is going to matter when you're getting, you know, facing 3rd and 8s consistently throughout this first quarter for the Tigers.
Now Gleason has Abdul Sater going in motion. He gives it to him. Another big run, breaking tackles inside Hartford territory, and another Tiger first down. No flags, ball at the 42-yard line. Very similar to the last one, and it worked again, so Coach Smith went with it, and they made it happen.
And that's a great play, as that's going to end our first quarter, but the second straight time on 3rd down, they turn to Ali Abdul Sater, get a big gain, and get a big first down.
It's the D1 semifinal from Doc Collins Field here at Middlebury Union High School. Our score after one is Hartford nothing, Middlebury nothing. You're listening to the One Credit Union Radio Network.
It's the 2015 model closeout at Foster Motors in Middlebury. Choose from 0% up to 72 months or huge discounts and rebates on many of the remaining Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Rams. If you don't see the car, truck, or SUV you want in our inventory, we will special order or find it for you. Check us out at fostermotors.com or call 388-9961. Foster Motors is a proud sponsor of Tiger football. 0% for 72 months with approved credit. Remember.
Yeah! 2015-2016 hockey season is upon us, and Fourth and Goal has everything you need. Hockey gloves, shin pads, shoulder pads, pants, elbow pads, and helmets by Bauer and CCM. Hockey skates and figure skates, too. They are stocked and ready to fit the Addison County skaters. Men and women, boys and girls from head to toe. Fourth and Goal, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond. Fourth and Goal Sports.
Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
Second quarter underway, and Kaufman with the carry in a big game, close to another Tiger first down as they get it rolling. That front line doing a nice job there, but Kaufman did a lot of that on his own.
What we're seeing right now from this Tiger offense is very little success to the outside, which we kind of expected, but a lot of success right in the gut of this Hartford defense, something we didn't anticipate coming in.
They'll give Kaufman 8 on the carry. It'll be a 2nd and 2. Abdel Seder heads over in motion. Kaufman comes in from the other side. That's the pitch out. Is they're going to sweep left? Or looking for running room, trying to get to that first down marker. He will not get it. A late flag, and I think they're going to get a stick on one of the Hartford players. Brian Moran put his head in there, although I'm hearing some groaning from the Middlebury fans, so let's see what that call is.
It's going to be a holding here on Middlebury, and really the worst possible scenario for it, a 2nd and 2 after that great first down carry from Trey Kaufman. Now, this hold's going to back him up. It would have been about a 3rd and 3 if Hartford accepts this as they should. It's going to be about a 2nd down and 12 now from the Hartford, 45.
Yeah, that flag came in really late, too. I thought maybe it was on the hit, but it is indeed. Gotta love my Middlebury High. They've got I always know I'm at MUHS because they got the refs mic'd up. It's the only place I know in the whole state that has that.
Certainly gives it that collegiate professional feel, and you love it down on the ball field when you're hearing the ref making the call, and certainly kind of gives it, like I said, that collegiate feel, like you're playing for something bigger than just a high school football game.
Absolutely. It certainly helps the PA people and the play-by-play people as well. We certainly appreciate it. No score just underway here in the second quarter. It'll be a 2nd and 12 now. It's back near midfield as Kaufman comes in motion over to the near side. The handoff goes. No, it's not a handoff. Gleason fakes it. Throws in. Incomplete over on the near side. Intended for Parker Gross. Had him, but overthrew him by just a hair. Incomplete. It'll be 3rd and 17 for the Tigers.
And I do like the play call there. You go to the counter play action, and that's something that we've seen actually be rather successful. And up in Rice a couple weeks ago, that hit for 2 touchdowns. But the key has been on those plays, getting the quarterback set. And when Oakley Gordon's been on those plays, his feet have not been able to get set because he's having constant pressure. No different story there as Gleason was able to, or was forced to, force the throw a little bit earlier than he wanted to, and at least that ball being overthrown to Parker Grove.
So a promising drive going backwards at the wrong time here as Abdel Seder goes in motion on the near side. Gleason with a carry, long way to go, and he's going to fall forward for not much. Back to the line of scrimmage, the original one, I should say. And it's going to be 4th now and probably about 11 for the Tigers. So what does Coach Smith do here?
I think you got to punt it, obviously, with the ball on the 45-yard line. You're going to be able to hopefully pin Hartford maybe within the 25-yard line, and we keep going back to that battle for field position. And this is, you know, you're not going to get the first down. You're going to be 4th and 12 here from the 45, but that opportunity to pin Hartford deep certainly is not going to go unnoticed.
And sure enough, DiLorenzo back standing at his own 42-yard line to boot this one away. It's a low line drive spinning out of bounds. Probably not the kick he wanted. It's out at the 30-yard line. You're right. That's a classic situation where you can really pin the team deep. But again, we talked about Gordon missing him, obviously, in the quarterback spot. But he's their punter. And you're asking DiLorenzo to do a lot in a pressure-packed situation in a game of punt after punt. That's going to become a big thing as we move on here.
And that's one of the big roles, like you mentioned, that kind of goes overlooked, is Oakley Gordon's been a fantastic punter this season for the Tigers. And not only, you know, minimal returning opportunities for the opposing team, but also, you know, good coffin punts, punting and forcing the offenses to start deep in their own territory. And certainly the 31 isn't too deep, but also not at the 50-yard line where it would have been had they gone for it.
And the handoff is going to go to Judd. Not much there. Nice work on the right side, cutting down Hunter Judd, the junior running back, as he tried to sweep over on the far side, and it was not there. Got his legs taken out from under him for no gain on first down.
And a great perimeter work there from the corner, the cornerback position there for the Tigers. And Brady LaRocque at the defensive end, they're able to, even though the Hartford Hurricanes fake inside, they know that something's coming out to them. They stay responsibility, don't get beat to the edge. And now Hartford looking at a 2nd and 10 with an offense that outside of one long run from Judd has not proven they can move the ball on this Tiger deep.
So it'll be a 2nd and 10. The ball barked at the Hartford 31-yard line. A pitch out goes to McLaren, sweeping left. Nothing there again. A far side defense just not allowing any room at all to run over onto that left side. And they keep trying to go that way, and it's not working.
And the key there for the Tigers was not only do they botch up that side of the play, the left side of the Hartford offense, but then Jerry Nemo coming from the backside defensive end position does a great job to reel in the ball carriers. He's forced to slow down. There's no hole there because, like you said, the Tigers are able to clog up that hole that allows these second pressure guys to come in and make the stick and not allow Hartford to get that one cut and break.
So we'll see if Hartford's going to the air. Here they send a man in motion near side to the far side. They've got two men split over to the right. The left-handed quarterback Landon throws close to a first down. It's caught, and it's going to be a Hurricane first down at their own 43-yard line.
And that's one thing that has plagued Middlebury all season long to this point is those short underneath passing games. And right now, Hartford's having a lot of success with it as they've hit on, I believe, three receptions to this point in the game. One of them on third and long. This one on third and long gets the first down. That's what this Tiger defense has been susceptible to, has been these short, quick passes. And Hartford's making no difference of it. Now, they can't run the ball up the middle, but if they can try to take advantage of the secondary, they might have a chance to move the ball and try to create their own offense.
Hunter Judd, the lone man split over to the right side, one man split out on the high side. The other Judd heads out on in motion. They hand it off, and there is nothing there. Making the play for Middlebury was Wyatt LaBerge, and he knew exactly what was coming, you could tell.
And LaBerge does a great job. It's going to be a little trap play here for the Hartford Hurricanes, and all LaBerge is going to do is he's going to sit in the back pocket, which basically the back hip there of the pulling guard, and just that's going to take him right to the ball. And so LaBerge is able to sneak in unblocked. By the time they give the football to McLaren, he is waiting for him at the hole, essentially. Big loss of 2 yards, and now Hartford, now again, having proven they can move the ball consistently on the ground, continues to run into problems trying to go up the middle.
Empty backfield, Cody Smith splits to the right side. Now he comes in motion, and the pitch out to Judd, and there's not much there. Cut down. Nice play by number 8, Chase Messner, for Middlebury. And a short gain back to the line of scrimmage and then over the 45 and a half, but it's still going to set up a third and about 8 now for the Hurricanes.
Messner does a great job making that play, but it's also Jack Honcho coming in from the safety position. As the ball carrier is trying to cut it upfield, he's able to slow him down a little bit. As he loses footing, Jack Honcho is able to go in and swipe the ankles there of the Hurricanes ball carrier, and that's able to drop him there, which would have been a lot more room had he kept on his feet. Now you're looking at 3rd and 8 here and potentially a passing situation for the Hurricanes.
7.5 minutes left to go in the second of a scoreless game here in the Division One semifinals, and the flags fly. Is that too much time? Did somebody move?
It's going to be a delay of game here for the Hurricanes.
It is indeed. Two places they have the play clock at Essex, and they had it in Hartford last week too, which was really helpful for us, and I'm sure helpful for the players. But if Hartford gets backed up now, the last thing they wanted, they already had a 3rd and long. Now it's going to be a 3rd and about 13.
Well, the key is there on these on the fields without a play clock is the it's on the quarterback, because the back judge is going to have the time. And so when he puts his hand up straight into the air, that means there's 5 seconds left on the play clock. So this is falling on the shoulders of Landon in the backfield. You've got to be have your eye on that back judge if you know you're taking a little bit of time to see where the play clock is at and see if you got to get the snap off.
Landon out of the shotgun, the left-hander rolling left, looking under pressure, throwing. He gets hit as he throws it, and it's incomplete, almost picked off. The only person that was going to catch that ball would have been a Middlebury Tiger. Gleason was in on it. There was a couple of other guys, but tons of pressure there on the quarterback, Landon. He got popped as soon as he threw it.
And Landon was looking deep to try to go to Cody Smith, and Cody Smith was about 30 yards downfield, so it would have been one heck of a toss had he made it there. But great job there in the secondary, which we talked about a couple plays back, that has been susceptible to match up everyone underneath and then force. If you're going to get something, it's going to be long. You're going to force one heck of a throw from Landon.
High snap, but the punter gets it away at the 30. Hunchell and Messner are deep. They're going to let it drop, and it takes a nice bounce for Hartford inside the 30, 25, and they'll drop it right there at the 20-yard line. So a very nice punt right there, and the field position drama continues, and right now it goes into Hartford's favor after a beautiful kick.
High School Football on 92.1 brought to you by Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury, and by Desibray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury, with a new drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. And that was an instance where you like to see the return man kind of come up, make a fair catch on that, catch it at the 30 rather than let that bounce, but very timid, and we've seen a lot of that this season from the Tigers.
And that was about a 12-yard decision, indeed. Nemo goes in motion, now comes back in and takes the handoff from Gleason. Nothing there. I mean nothing. They are right at the 20-yard line, so it'll be a 2nd and 10 now for the Tigers. Still no score. 6:22 in the clock moving in a very fast-moving first half. And that's certainly something, at least in the games I've been doing this year, I don't get to say very often.
Well, it's this run-based offenses, and both of them just haven't been able to churn up much success, especially in the interior of either defense.
Gleason now under center. Nemo heads in motion over to the far side. The handoff inside goes to Cortland Fisher, and there's a little bit of room there off right tackle, but not much as he falls forward for about a 3-yard gain out to the 24.5-yard line of Middlebury.
And here's the thing with Middlebury is they don't have one elite player in this backfield. You know, you look at no one's over 600 yards rushing on the season, and what that does is you can't turn to one guy to say, okay, we need 15 yards from you. We're going to give you the ball, and that works a lot because you never know where the ball's going, but in games like this where you're not creating offense, it's certainly a deterrent.
Couple of men in motion. The handoff goes to Nemo on the sweep right, looking for blockers, patiently getting thrown. He gets popped. Lucky he held onto the ball. It's a short gain out close to the 30-yard line, but they're going to be short, and they're certainly, I wouldn't think, in four-down territory now, and Tigers going to have to punt it away again as the war of attrition here for these two teams continues. When's the last time fairly late in the first half you've seen nothing in any game this season?
It's been a while, especially if you're on the Middlebury sideline, considering what this offense has been over the last couple of years, and that's tough. You get to a 4th-and-1, which if you're at the 40-yard line of either side, you might consider going for it, but you're forced to punt here and forced to give the football to Hartford in pretty decent field position.
DeLorenzo standing at his own 15, gets a line drive kick and a nice bounce, and Hartford's going to let it roll, so he's going to get some serious yardage out of that, and late in the play, around midfield, the flags fly, so maybe some extracurricular activity going on after that kick.
It's going to be on Hartford, and it's going to be during the play, so it should be at the end of the kick, I would only assume. So Hartford's going to catch that type of break, but if it's just a personal foul and it's a 15-yard variety, that's going to put the football at about the 17-yard line of Hartford and completely negate the work of their defense to flip field position. But if this is now, if they're going to tack it on to the previous spot for Middlebury, you're going to get a first down, and that's going to be a big penalty. And the second time Hartford has hurt themselves on very big and costly and ill-timed penalties.
And we talked about before the game how penalties have really hurt this team. They've had 24 of them in the last two games. That's the third one of this game. And the penalties is, from what I had heard before last week's game, a lot of that stuff, a lot of late hits and things like that, a lot of personal fouls, major infractions that cost you 15 yards every time you do it. So that has got to be driving Coach Matt Trombley crazy, and referees discussing things over at the 40-yard line as to exactly where this ball will end up. But that's a big decision, so they want to get it right.
That's exactly it. They're determining if this is, you know, post-play, which would mean it would be at the end of the kick, which is right now spotted at the 32-yard line. If this is during the play, this should be from the line of scrimmage, which would obviously give the Tigers, if they were to accept it, which obviously they would give them a first down. And so this is certainly a very big call as to what it's going to be, if this is going to be at the end of the play or if it's going to be during the play and from the previous spot.
They're still talking it over. And talking it over.
And, you know, this is a gray area. You know, this is a tough call. And it's, you know, credit the refs for really thinking this one through, because you have to figure out, and I think they're going to put at the end of the play, so end of the kick. But this is just a tough call because there's so much on the line. It's not like this would be, you know, Tiger football regardless or Hartford football regardless. If this is called at a certain point, it completely changes who has the football. If it's going to be Hartford at the 17-yard line or Middlebury at the 43, so this type of call completely changes the atmosphere of a football game.
And Bruce Wright for Middlebury is hanging around waiting to see what what came out of that huddle. And either way, Middlebury's going to like it as the referee continuing to walk the football down the field against Hartford.
It'll be half the distance to the goal.
Okay, so half the distance to the goal. So that's just a huge penalty when you consider where that punt came from.
Yep. And, well, so, you know, Hartford gets lucky in the fact that it's not during the play. They said this is a post-play penalty, so the play dying at the 32-yard line is what ends it. But, again, field position battle has been the theme of this first half, and now Hartford is losing it when they had an opportunity to be winning it substantially with what would have been the ball at the 32. Now you're looking at your own 17 for an offense that, outside of one long run and one long pass, have not moved the ball at all against this Tiger defense.
And it's amazing because, you know, Coach Matt Trombley has been telling the guys, just stop it. Control your emotions out there, and it continues to be a problem, and it's really, really hurt him. I mean, last week, that game against Colchester could have been a lot more. I think it was 7-0 at the half, 13-0. I think they scored late. So it was close, but only because every time they'd have a big play, they'd get backed up with penalties. All right, we're all set to go. Landon Hands it off to Judd. Oh, helmet-to-helmet contact there. Big hit around the 22-yard line. Short gain for Judd out to the 22. Give him about 3 yards. It'll be second and seven now for the Canes.
And that's Corlin Fisher coming and filling the hole. And again, not much to work with here for Harford up inside. 3 yards has kind of been their lucky long runs for this football team, where they've been typically getting one or two. And now this game of field position, we continue to talk about it because we can't not. If you can't get something going here, Middlebury's going to get a chance late in this first quarter and first half, to really get some confidence and momentum going into the break.
Landon hands it off, looking for running room, and another penalty at the end of the play as McLaren went off right tackle and picked up about 3 yards, and then the flags flew.
And this is, if this is on Middlebury, it's going to be costly, but it's going to be a hold on Hartford. And even and just about quite, just as costly as it would have been for Middlebury, now you're going to be end of the play type of play. So this is going to bring up about a second and maybe 15, considering it's going to be about 5 yards downfield from the original line of scrimmage. So now you're looking at another down and distance that Hartford hasn't been, you know, successful in outside of one long pass play.
And penalties, again, causing the problems. And they, if all goes on schedule here in Middlebury, doesn't break defensively as they walk this one all the way back to the 12-yard line. As you said, Marshall, they're going to be kicking from out of their own end zone with 4:02 left to go in the first half. Plenty of time if Middlebury can get it back with some time in a nothing-nothing ball game here.
And the dangerous part here is for Hartford, a football team that's not used to throwing the football. If you have to toss it through the air, you know, you aren't as, you know, sound as maybe a Rutland team is. And an interception at this point in the field, you have to consider if you're airing it out, is extremely costly.
So Landon under center is going to hand it off. He gives it to Judd straight up the middle, and nothing there. Again, Middlebury surrounding the ball carriers. Just an absolute brick wall Judd ran into. Maybe a yard, and that's about it. So big play here. I can't imagine at this point in this spot on the field in a nothing-nothing game late in the first half, if you're Hartford, you're going to air it out. I don't care if it's third and off, then 90. I have to believe you're going to be conservative. Just get the ball out of there and kick it away.
I think you have to, and it, you, if you throw an incompletion here, it stops the clock, and that certainly works to Tigers' advantage. If they can get a stop, they're going to have to use one.
And Landon, it fakes the hand off, and he's going to throw, looking and overthrowing Cody Smith over on the far side. He had a step on the defender, but it went way over his head. So much for my strategy.
And you know, now it's going to bring up a 3rd and 9. If you run the football there like you would have considered, excuse me, 3:09 left on the clock is what I'm trying to say, not 3 and 9. What it would have brought up is Middlebury would have had to take the timeout to stop the clock. Now they get all 3 timeouts, and in all likelihood, the ball at the Hartford 40-yard line headed in with about 3 minutes left to go in this first half, and a big opportunity to try to put some points on the board.
And sure enough, the punter, Cody Smith, is going to kick from right in his end zone. Pretty good kick. It's coming down, and it is caught in a reverse, and it's to the 40 for Middlebury, breaking a tackle, still on his feet at the 30, heading down the sideline, breaking another tackle, finally knocked out of bounds at the 12-yard line on the end around is Jack Houchel. And there's the big play you just talked about, and boy, did they execute it perfectly.
Well, everyone's going to be tapping the back right now of Jack Contra, but come Sunday Night Films, they're going to be tapping the back of Wyatt LaBerge. Wyatt LaBerge delivered a shot to Brandon Gaudette on that kick return, excuse me, punt return, and that opened up the lane for Jack Contra. Middlebury Tigers with 2:53 left are within striking distance and all sorts of confidence and momentum on that sideline.
This is their second trip into the red zone. The first one did not work out as they went out on downs. The handoff from Gleason goes left side, pushing his way forward for about 2 yards is Trey Kaufman over on the near side. Gets inside the 10, about the 9.5.
And I'm still amped up from that Wyatt LaBerge hit, because he blindsided Gaudette, who was in position and had his hands on Jack Honchel. Looked like he would be able to bring him down, but LaBerge came out of nowhere. Perfect, clean hit as well, and now the Tigers moving.
Gleason, the quarterback. Messner is split over to the near side. It's empty on the right side. They hand it off to the first man through. It is Fisher, and he rolls in for a touchdown.
Now, that was Andrew Gleason
there. It was.
There.
He fooled me. Gleason picks it up.
But it's going to be a flag here on the Tiger sideline. I didn't see it during the play. So if this is on Middlebury during the play, it's certainly going to break what would have been the biggest play of the game to this point.
Yeah, I looked down to see who had the ball, and it's like, wait a minute, it's in the end zone. That was quite a fake. Yeah, Bjarke's got his work cut out for him with his team, doesn't he? Boy, a lot of misdirection. And the penalty's going to go against Hartford.
And that's going to be on the kickoff of his post-play. But to go back to that play that you talk about, the deception is certainly there. A great fake from Andrew Gleason inside the Corlin Fisher. The defensive end is going to crash in, so a good keep pull there from Andrew Gleason. Then he does a great job of giving a size 7 half a pump fake back to the back, which would have been Ali Abdul-Sader. The defensive end and cornerback are going to sneak out to the outside. Gleason cuts up, and there's no one left for him after he breaks a tackle from the linebacker to punch it in from about 8 yards out. And the Tigers, coming off that big Jack Hunch return, are up 6-0.
So DeLorenzo, the backup kicker, in a big spot right here in a tight game, trying to add the 7th point on, and he kicks it off and kicks it long and far and right through the uprights. So the kick is good. The teams come back up the field with 2 minutes and 18 seconds left, and Middlebury draws first blood on a couple of big plays, a couple of misdirections as Gleason on a quarterback sneak, as you said, Marshall, from 8 yards out. The extra point is good, and this is the kind of game you look at 7-0, and the way things have gone this year in the state of Vermont for high school football, 7-0 means nothing, but it means a ton, especially when it comes to momentum heading into the locker room, but the half is not over.
Now this feels, like you said, it's 7-0, but it certainly feels more like 14, because this has been a Tiger defense, and at the same token, for the most part, a Hartford defense that have been relentless in stopping the run. No one's been able to get a consistent drive going, and any long drive has been the result of long runs for each side. So now Middlebury, who's going to be punting off from the 45-yard line here with 2:18 left, have an opportunity. Frankly, I would not be surprised if we go for an onside kick here. I don't think Dennis Smith would do it. But this is in the realm of possibilities. So onside kick here for either defense that has been, like we said, shut down. If you could try to sneak the ball in with 2:18 left, get one last possession, really start to put this game, a little pressure on Hartford into the second half. But I expect them to kick it off and basically put Hartford deep in their own territory at the 20-yard line.
So that end around on the punt return from the goal line spelled doom for the Hartford defense that time around, and Middlebury in a can't-lose situation there, having first down and 10 at like the 15-yard line, and they punched it in for the game's first points with 2:18 left to go. DeLorenzo will kick it off, as you said, from a great spot in Hartford territory, and it's a very nice end-over-end kick. It comes down to the goal line and into the end zone, and it's going to be a touchback. So Hartford with 2 minutes and 17 seconds left to go. Now, all of a sudden, do you change anything if you're Hartford offensively, knowing you're down in a game where points are going to be at a premium?
Well, if you look at it this way, Middlebury's got 3 timeouts. If you try to air it out in your Hartford, you're unsuccessful.
Right.
You're going to stop the clock every play. So now you're Middlebury, you get the ball back in similar field position as you were projected to last time around the 40-yard line if you get a stop here. It's tough because you don't want to just give up knowing that you get the ball to half. You can tie it up, try to take the lead to start the second half. But at the same token, you do want to try to create some type of offense if you're Hartford.
Well, they've sent 3 receivers out. They are going to pass on an empty backfield. Quick hitter over the middle or over the left side is complete. But a short gain for Cody Smith. He's hit immediately by Middlebury, and the clock moving now with 2:05, so passing's great, but you need more than 5 yards in a situation like that, and with the clock moving.
Right, and now you're Hartford, you're still huddling up. This isn't like a Middlebury offense where you're quick to the ball. This is a slow moving, and what would have been, the play ended at 2:05, and now you're at 1:48, so you're 17 seconds later, and you still haven't gotten the next playoff.
Bryce Landon, the quarterback, and it's a handoff this time to McLaren up the middle, falling forward, gets the first down out to the 34-yard line for the Hurricanes, and a Middlebury player is down in the secondary after getting hit late in that play. And getting up slowly at the 40-yard line and stopping the clock.
And that's Chris Greer, who's down, one of the captains here for the Tigers. And inside and coming in is going to be Corlin Fisher, who started at full at linebacker at the beginning of the season. He's been getting sporadic movement as they've tried to keep him well-rested for the offensive side of the ball. He'll come in, and Chris Greer is certainly not another injury that the Tigers want to deal with right now after losing Oakley Gordon in the first drive.
He seems to be okay as the play's on now, and a reverse misdirection. Big run up the middle, on his feet, and heading out. Foot race down the left side is Hunter Judd, and they caught him at the 20-yard line. With a minute 22 left, that'll stop the clock, obviously. But Hunter Judd, on a misdirection, came from the far side and found a huge hole as he headed left.
And the key there for Judd, they do a great job of sealing out the end here on the play side for the defense. And then Judd, again, one quick cut up the middle, and there's no one left to take him down. He beats the cornerback and the safety to the point. It became a foot race, and he's going to win that to about the 10-yard line, and that's it. But now with 1:20 left in the first half, Hartford is within striking distance of Tyler's football game up and get momentum back on their side.
Minute 13, the clock is moving. Hartford has all three of their timeouts. Walker Judd, the lone setback. Bryce Landon, the quarterback, under center. And Hartford jumps, and that's going to cost him 5 yards. And here we go again with the penalties for the Hurricanes. That's their fifth penalty, and none bigger than that one right there.
As the Hartford Hurricanes drive inside the red zone, we'll let you know, Tiger Football brought to you by Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. And fourth and goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and Diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. And again, this is a shoot yourself in the foot right at the most inopportune time. And, you know, here's my big question. The clock is running. There's 54 seconds left. Hartford has three timeouts, and they're not using one. Frankly, this is the opportunity. I'm using one. Stop the clock.
Right.
Get something going, because with 45 seconds left now, you still got 15 yards to go, and you haven't proven you can get it.
Yeah, I have no idea. Judd hits. Hunter Judd hits. They're going to pass. Landon, the left-hander, throws. He has a man, but he overshot him at the goal line. Incomplete.
And he had him right there as Judd was breaking behind Jack Honchel. And that's got to be a little bit better job in the Tigers secondary. You have to know that with 37 seconds left, they're probably airing it out here on first and 15. You got to see that. Your first priority has to be that man. If he's streaking downfield, this isn't like, you know, where you got to split out wide. I was just going to streak off to try to run the cornerback away. He's going out for a route if you're a tight end in that position or in that backfield. You got to see that. You got to play that position. You got to play back. Make sure you're not getting beat over the top, because a touchdown this late in the first half would be extremely detrimental for this Tiger football team that's been productive on defense.
But as you said, they let the clock run down a lot, and we're talking about three timeouts left here. Now there's 37 seconds left. Of course, the clock is stopped as McCarron goes in motion. Bryce Landon looking, overthrows his man by a lot, intended for Hunter Perkins, but that pass never had a chance as he was rolling to the near side, and he ended up throwing it about 3 yards in front of the intended receiver out of bounds. So now you're Hartford, and it's third and 15, and now you're forced. Well, not necessarily forced. There could be a little deception. You've got the three timeouts, but a little surprised they kept passing the ball on first and ultimately on second down there.
Well, the Tigers are doing a great job there at the line of scrimmage, and they are able to block the defensive, the tight ends and the halfbacks on the line of scrimmage, and that completely throws off all of the timing of that play, because by the time Landon gets to the perimeter of the defense in the backfield, the routes are still, you know, they're not to the point where they're supposed to be open, so he's got to wait a little bit. No one was open. He has to throw that ball, and in a bad position, throws it away.
Hunter Judd in motion. They're going to pass. Rolling right on the play action. The left-hander throws into the end zone. Jump ball, incomplete. Great coverage there for the Tigers. In on the play defensively, Chase Messner. Gleason was down there too, and it turned into a jump ball, and now it's fourth down for Hartford.
And that was play side back there was Jack Honchel. He's able to come over, and with the help of Messner and Ali Abdul Slater and Andrew Gleason, the secondary's played pretty well here in the second quarter. First quarter, we saw him get beaten underneath quite a bit. This is a great job here in the red zone to play back, force a fourth and 15, and finally a timeout with 21.8 seconds left is going to be called on the field. But this has been a segment that's played well. Hasn't allowed you here in the red zone to find anyone open in the end zone and kind of create this offense for Hartford that outside of that long run hasn't really been there.
Yeah, it's been a weird game. This has been a game that has been completely controlled by a couple of really long plays. Of course, the reverse on the punt return led to the only points of the game so far. But each team has had some very long plays, but they just haven't been able to cash in once they've gotten to the red zone.
And that's what we talked about in the pregame. Is these two bend don't break defenses, and what it was going to come down to was which defense bends a little bit more. And to this point, it's been Hartford. You know, Hartford, that reverse puts the Tigers at about the 15-yard line, and it was, are they going to bend all the way and let the Tigers into the end zone? They inevitably do. And now Middlebury, this is the second defensive possession for them inside the red zone. The first one, they were able to stall out at the 10-yard line, forcing that incompletion on fourth down. Yep. Now, Hartford at fourth and 15 after the false start on first down with 21.8 seconds left in the first half are doing the same thing. Middlebury's bending, don't break. They say, you want to throw it three straight times. We're going to pick that up. You're running basically the same routes every time. We're just going to sit knowing that you can't go too far over the top on
it. And now it's a tough situation on fourth and goal at the 15. I mean, maybe a Statue of Liberty, maybe a double reverse, some sort of trickery. I wouldn't be at all surprised here, because you can't run the ball in this situation, and Landon's going to roll right. Looking, throws towards the end zone, has a man. Did he get in? No, he's out of bounds at the 1-yard line. He did not get in.
And I think
but there's a question here that might be a first down. I mean, was that
it was fourth and goal. It was fourth and goal because it was from the 10-yard line. So that's, you know, it is short, so there's not a first down.
Wow.
And that's, you know, I think it's the right call. He stepped out of bounds as he went to turn for the pylon as Jack Honcho was closing in on defense. And Hartford's, you know, arguing, hey, he knocked the pylon over. But his foot was out of bounds as he turned to go for the pylon. And now the Tigers, here's the thing, though. You got 12 seconds left. You want to just sit on the ball at the 2-yard line. But the problem is that you can't just kneel it because if you kneel it, you're in the end zone. So this, you know, looking at a safety type of situation here is, you know, you're not out of the woods just yet if you're the Tiger offense.
Boy, that's a huge play there, right, though. I knew it was fourth and 15, but I thought maybe it was fourth, and the ball looked like about the 15-and-a-half-yard line.
Right.
I was thinking maybe they just got it close enough where they would measure, but it was fourth and goal. And a huge play in the secondary there. The thing was, is you could tell the pass was going to be completed. It was floated out. And the only question was somebody in a black shirt going to be able to get there in time? And they did. And that boy, I'll tell you, we'll look back on this one. And that may have been the biggest play of the game right there.
Absolutely. And that's Jack Honcho got a late break. You could see the receiver takes the out route there at about the 3-yard line. And one thing that you kind of preach as a coach is if it's fourth down, you want to run your route beyond the first down. You don't want to have to catch the ball and get beyond it. And he comes up just short of the goal line. So by the time he catches that, he's not able to get into the end zone. If he runs that about 3 yards further before he makes the cut, he's standing in the end zone, catch that football.
So I would assume Gleason's going to hold this one and just lurch forward a la Tom Brady, and he does indeed, and he gets it out to about the 4-yard line, and it looks like Hartford's going to leave those two timeouts to the locker room as the clock runs down. The crowd happy down below as a late touchdown on an 8-yard run by the quarterback. Andrew Gleason has put the Tigers in the driver's seat heading to the warm locker room here on this chilly Friday night. Our score at the end of the first half here from Doc Collins Field at Middlebury Union High School, the Tigers 7, the Hartford Hurricanes 0. We'll have our halftime show run down everything for you in just a moment here on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. Watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
Real trust is having a partner you can count on. National Bank of Middlebury has experienced bankers providing advice, guidance, and support you can trust. And a full range of loans, savings, and online products and services. Find out what having the right partner can do for you. Offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at mbmvt.com. Bank real. Live real. National Bank of Middlebury.
Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
Dilla Motorsports celebrates Victory Motorcycles with high performance.
Exhilarating experiences every week in the month of October.
Visit Dilla Motorsports to learn more and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles. Up to $2,000 rebate on Victory and a 5-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models with rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet. Never ride under the influence.
Dilla Motorsports. 7 Dilla Drive, Plattsburgh.
Dilla Motorsports.
Hi, this is John Wallace, graduate gemologist and owner of Autumn Gold in Middlebury, Vermont. Stop in and melt someone's heart. Whether you're looking for fine handcrafted jewelry, a rare gemstone, or an awesome diamond, come in and see what we have to offer. Meet our fun staff of very talented designers and goldsmiths. And remember, we do expert in-house repairs, restorations, and appraisals as well. Autumn Gold. The Earth's most beautiful gifts.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
This is Tiger Football on Addison County's WVTK, Fort Henry, Bridport, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Along with Marshall Hastings, Rich Haskell back here. I'm in for, Bjarke. Bjarke Sears, who... I wonder how he's doing right now. He said he was listening.
He said he was.
Do we have any update on how he might
be? See how those drugs are doing, because I was just, can't assume that, you know, he doesn't get some kind of, you know, relief from a knee surgery. So.
Well, with all of that, we should have him on the air. We ought to bug him in the hospital room or wherever he is.
Great. But
he'd be pretty happy to be at this one, though. This has been interesting. We talked in the pregame about what a struggle it was going to be. And, what was it, a month ago? I had a game I did on the radio. The final was 84-70.
Right.
So this is a new experience for me. It seems like on one of our sister stations, I'm doing the Milton Burren-Burton game. And you know what Burren Burton equals?
Yep.
It equals 60 points to start. So it's been a fall. I've never seen so much offense, and it's kind of nice to come to a game with a grinded out, a couple of big plays, a couple of breaks, a couple of penalties, and 7 points on the board at the half, where you value every first down, you value every point.
Yeah, a little blast for the past, you know, that old school football defense wins championships. That's what we're seeing tonight. We're seeing two interior defenses that aren't allowing anything on the ground, and that's been the key for both sides. And coming in was going to be which defense doesn't make the play at the right time. And right now it's been Harford on the punt return. That great Middlebury reverse sets up the 8-yard touchdown run with 2:18 left in the first half for Andrew Gleason, who's filling in for Oakley Gordon, who goes down on the Tigers' opening possession. They're marching. They get to the 15-yard line. He goes down with an apparent right knee injury. Now they're forced to kind of dig deep into this depth. And this is a football team that hasn't had to deal with a lot of injuries the last couple seasons. Gleason doing a formidable job, and then a great job on that triple option to get the play fake inside, get a pump fake to the outside before cutting in from 8 yards out. But this is two defenses where each of them are playing elite level, as we expected, and it's going to be interesting to the second half. Which one kind of wears down first? They've been on the field for a lot of this game. You know, it's been a lot of three and outs. Which defense kind of tires first, and which defense starts giving up the long plays more, you know, more consistently than they have been in the first half?
And credit to Doug DiLorenzo, too. I mean, in a game like this, extra points are really important, and
yep.
He didn't just barely get that one over the goalpost. That was a shot. He blasted that thing. He's punted 3 or 4 times. So these are the kind of things, you know, you immediately think of Oakley Gordon. You think, oh, no, we've lost our quarterback. But there's a lot more to him than that. And DiLorenzo with a beautiful extra point. And, you know, in a game like this where you can see sort of a 13-7-ish kind of final, it wouldn't surprise us at all. Or who knows, maybe a 7-6 final.
Right.
That's obviously a key factor.
It is, and, you know, to go off that real quick, on the punting game side of things, he's done a good job, but, you know, the big thing has been the penalties that Harford has hurt themselves with. They get to the 10-yard line after a long run, they have a full start. They have that punt that would have put the ball at the 32, and you have that 15-yard penalty that bunches it back to the 17, and that leads to that long punt return for Middlebury. So right now it's been Harford making these, one, like a costly mistake on that punt return, but then, two, just not being disciplined, not playing disciplined football, and that's helping Middlebury because they're taking advantage of it, like we talked about in the pregame. It was going to be up to them to take advantage of any Harford penalties if they were to make them. Harford's making them. Middlebury's doing a good job of capitalizing.
Yeah, and the winner goes to Rutland to face, we'll see. We'll get an out-of-town score in just a couple of minutes. I see a couple of local media legends have walked into the booth, so I should probably take these headphones off and since we're not hearing from Bjarke in his hospital bed, we'll hand it over to Andy. But the score at halftime right now is 7-0 in favor of Middlebury. Again, Gleason with the 8-yard run with 2:18 left to go. DiLorenzo with the perfect extra point. That's where we sit here at halftime in the Division I football semifinal from Doc Collins Field here at Middlebury Union High School. It's the Tigers 7 and the Hartford Hurricanes 0. You're listening to the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger football.
A great way to start off your day is with Monument Farms hot chocolate. Just pop their signature chocolate milk in the microwave and you have instant delicious hot chocolate. Great for the kids before they head outdoors and to school. You can find all Monument Farms local products in many area stores. And if you live nearby, please stop into their popular dairy store Mondays through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
Houston's Farm Supply in Bridport carries the high-pressure cleaning equipment that gets the job done right. Let them show you the Hotzi hot and cold pressure washers, available in electrical, all voltages, and gas or diesel propane. Houston's Farm Supply is a full-service dealer carrying all parts and accessories, plus a full line of detergents from 5-gallon pails to 55-gallon drums. When it comes to high-power pressure washers, you'll find the best, Hotzi, at Houston's Farm Supply on the Crown Point Road in Bridport.
Hi, I'm Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. We would like to congratulate the Middlebury JV and varsity football team on another undefeated regular season. Also, a big thank you to the coaches. Now it's time to put on your winter tires, do a custom winter service, and an oil undercoat your car. We are now using a fluid film rust inhibitor undercoating. Don't wait for snow. Call us at 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven, or mikesautomid.com. Remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
It's the 2015 model closeout at Foster Motors in Middlebury. Choose from 0% up to 72 months or huge discounts and rebates on many of the remaining Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Rams. If you don't see the car, truck, or SUV you want in our inventory, we will special order or find it for you. Check us out at fostermotors.com or call 388-9961. Foster Motors is a proud sponsor of Tiger Football. 0% for 72 months with approved credit. Remember...
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Welcome back to Doc Collins Field. Marshall Hastings, joined by my former boss and my first ever internship with the Addison Independent. What was it now? 3 summers ago, Andy Kirkcaldy, sports writer for the Addison Independent. Welcome in, Andy. I know we got a great football game going on right here, a defensive tilt that we've been used to.
Oh, exciting game.
And it is, and something that we haven't seen so much of as far as, you know, Middlebury's played these tight games, but not against elite talent. You know, Mount Anthony plays them close. South Burlington played them close for a little bit. But those are football teams that kind of Middlebury expected to handle. Playing against one of the top-notch teams in the state for the first time this year, Middlebury certainly isn't disappointing.
Oh, not at all. The defense has been terrific. I mean, that kid broke the big play at the near the end of the half. But other than that, they haven't given up much. A couple complete passes, but that's it. I mean, that's an impressive performance by the defense. And, you know, I heard you and Rich talking about, you know, the many ways they miss Oakley. You know, it's his kicking as well as his quarterbacking. But he's also a valuable member of the defense at the safety position, too.
Yeah.
So his presence is missed all over the field and both offense, defense, and the kicking game.
Absolutely. And Chase Messer's come in and done a fantastic job in the secondary for the Tigers. But Middlebury's not the only elite football team here in Addison County.
Not at all.
Outer Valley tomorrow day playing in their semifinal match, trying to get back to the state championship for the second straight season. That's a football team in Outer Valley that's come a long way. Since, you know, even when I was playing, that was kind of this cupcake gang at the end of the season. They're turning into a formidable matchup.
Oh, that team deserves a ton of credit. I mean, they took that loss last year in the final to heart, a game they probably would have won if their quarterback hadn't strained his hamstring warming up before the game, practicing his kicking.
Mm-hmm.
But they hit the weight room like you wouldn't believe last winter. They came out a team on a mission. And I can't tell you who said this, but I just happened to run into an administrator from one of the other schools that might face him in the final next week, and he's not sure he wants his team to make the final because those guys are scary good and tough. Uh-huh. And big and strong. And they have the single player who I think is probably the best football player in the state, Carson Leary.
Uh-huh.
You know, the kid is 225, 230 pounds, 6'2", and runs a 4.640.
Right.
I mean, it's just
you don't see it in the state. You don't see it in the state really at any level.
And how many quarterbacks do you see playing defensive end and leading his team in sacks?
Right. Not many.
he's just a terrific athlete, nice kid, honor roll student, the whole package.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've heard he's going to Norwich to play there, though I haven't confirmed that directly.
So uh-huh.
That's the word on the street. But well, they could probably win without him. That's
right.
How deep they are.
Well, it certainly says a lot about the Outer Valley program because this was a program for a lot of times. You know, they were in the seven-man league when it existed, when they were kind of like, you know, a team to reckon with for a while.
Oh,
there.
They had a great team back 2005, I think it was.
Yeah.
They won the state title.
And then, you know, they move up to D2 and they struggled. They had the one season where 2009 here on Doc Collins Field, the last play of the game where we take them into overtime. Tigers are able to come out victorious in what would have been, you know, controversial season that year for Otter Valley, you know, without going into more detail on it. But, you know, that was a football team that had was on the brink of making the playoffs. And then the next two seasons kind of struggled. And now they're back down in D3 and finally kind of where they deserve to be. But this is a big credit to the coaching staff for getting them to this
position. Absolutely. Credit to Coach Jim Hill and his staff. But more than that, credit to the guys for hitting the weight room and, and getting ready to play this season and be competitive. And they are not. They are dominating that division. They are not a bigger school. They don't have more kids in the program. This is just a group that has done what's necessary to compete at the level they're competing.
And as we're running out of our time here, we got a couple minutes still here with Andy. But the big game is tomorrow for field hockey. Otter Valley and Mount A. This is a, you know, Addison County's producing some great athletic programs right now, and Otter Valley no different. Their baseball program has been elite, a state championship two seasons ago. Now, what is the key there? I mean, explain that game.
In this game, Mount Abe has a terrific defense, a lot of depth. They've played all the Metro Conference teams tough. Their last three games against the top three Division One seeds, they tied them. They don't have a lot of scoring punch. Otter Valley is not a deep team. They got freshmen playing key roles. They're what they have that maybe Mount Abe does is a sniper. They got a scorer. They got a kid who's got 20 goals this year. She has scored in every one of their games except one.
Okay.
So and they've got other good players too. They got a nice kid's name's Allison Lowell. They got another good midfielder, Maya Edmonds, the coach's daughter. Nice player, very good in aerials. Both teams have very good goaltending. So it's just, you know, can Mount Abe, you know, a little deeper, a little better, maybe up and down the field. You know, can they get enough pressure on to pop one or two in? Can they keep Allison off the scoreboard? Those are going to be the keys to the game tomorrow.
It's certainly an exciting time for Addison County sports. There's no doubt about that. Otter Valley with two teams, and one team in the state championship, field hockey tomorrow, and tomorrow's semifinal matchup for the Otter football team. Andy, thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure to see you. We'll be back with the second half of this Tiger football game. Middlebury on top of Hartford in the D1 semifinal. 7-0. You're listening to Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Thanks for having me on.
The A. Johnson Company in Bristol has been a family-owned business since 1906. They supply woodworkers and do-it-yourself remodeling projects with locally and sustainably harvested timber. Visit their retail store and friendly staff on Route 116 in Bristol and see their wide selection of softwood and hardwood lumber, including paneling, flooring, and choose from planed or rough. The A. Johnson Company also sells kiln-dried firewood. Make the A. Johnson Company your one-stop for all your lumber needs or call 453-4884. That's 453-4884.
Change is good, especially if you're not happy with the current situation. Bordon Insurance Agency wants to let you know that they'll be there for you if and when you want to make that change. With local agents that live right here in your community. For home, auto, office, farm, boat, you name it, they can provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of all your insurances. Bordon Insurance, Merchants Row, downtown Middlebury, and at BordonInsurance.com. Bordon Insurance, local people insuring local people.
Now back to the field for more Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And the opening kickoff, the second half, picked up by McLaren at the 20. He's going to cut left and gets up to about the 32-yard line as the Hartford offense comes out, landing under center, three backs in the backfield. Fakes the handoff up the middle. This is going to go to McLaren to the right. He's going to get swallowed up by the Tiger defensive line. Nick Beauchamp on the lead there into the backfield. And I correct myself. It's Gavin Farnsworth right in the backfield here to start the second half for the Hartford Hurricanes, landing to the sideline. And this is a Hartford offense now. Hasn't gotten a lot going. This defensive line from Middlebury, we'll see how consistent they can stay here as we start the second half.
Yeah, different look, no question about it, to what Farnsworth brings. He's played quite a bit. He played a few snaps last week in the win over Colchester, too, but obviously a right-hand. And that kind of changes the angle on a lot of things, landing the lefty.
Farnsworth now under center. He's got three backs in the backfield again, one wide out to the left. Man in motion to the left, and it's going to be a toss out to the outside. He's going to cut it to the right and get about stunned. The ball comes out. Tigers are going to scoop it up about the 34-yard line. That's Ali Abdul-Sader on the recovery of Middlebury football to kick off this second half, forcing a fumble with just 11:03 left to go.
And Cortland Fisher with a big hit on Walker Judd, who cut left after sweeping, and a big mistake on his part as Fisher was waiting for him and stuck him, and Middlebury with a huge break here and a chance to go up two scores early in the second half.
And no bigger play for the Tiger defense to kick off the second half as Harford's going to fumble it, put it at the 34-yard line here for the Tigers. And an offense with a lot of confidence after that reverse set them up for the first touchdown of the game late in the second quarter. Under center still is Andrew Gleason, Trey Kaufman, and Parker Gross in the backfield, as is Jerry Nemo. Going to be a toss fake. Give to Parker Gross up the middle. He's going to be wrapped up about a 3-yard gain. It's going to be up on side. The tackle there by Bailey Knott. And it's, like we said, 3-yard gain, second and seven. Typically of what we've been getting here in the first half.
And Oakley Gordon, kind of tough to see down here in front of us, coming out on crutches, slowly making his way out back into the field. That's a tough situation, obviously.
Tigers come out the two tight end set. Sawyer Ryan and Brady LaRocque in close. The open A formation. Trey Kaufman, Parker Gross, and Jerry Nemo. Gleason under center. Nemo in motion. It's going to be a give to Nemo up the middle. Loses his footing real quick. And then Hurricane defenders in on the stop at about the 30-yard line. Going to bring up a third and five. Tiger football here brought to you by Mike's Fuels for all your home business and agricultural needs. Route 22A in Bridport. And by J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363. Two tight end set again here for the Tigers. Kaufman in motion to the left. Play action pass for Gleason. He's going to keep it up the middle. Going to break one tackle. He's going to break to the 20. Inside to the 15. Breaks another tackle there before he's finally brought down. And a big, about 15-yard gain for Gleason on third and five. Puts the Tigers on the 15-yard line headed in. Certainly taking advantage of that fumble to kick off the Harford drive of this second half.
Boy, did Gleason fool everybody in the place. Not handing it off to Parker Gross. It looked like, for all the intents and purposes there, it looked like Gross was going to get the handoff. And Gleason with a great job as the second string quarterback. That could be a tough thing to sell or teach a kid, but he faked everybody out, and here we go.
Gleason under center, Nemo in motion to the right. Going to be a counter to Trey Kaufman. Play action pass. Looking downfield. Lobs it up. It's going to be Brady LaRocque catching the football at the 2-yard line for the Tigers. A gain of about 12-yard line. He was wide open. Brady LaRocque, no one around him on the counter play action. Plenty of time for Andrew Gleason to set and fire that football. Middlebury Tigers are driving.
The only person near that ball was Parker Gross. They almost fouled it up. Gross made an absolute attempt to catch that ball. It went right through his hands at the 3-yard line. And guess who was right there at the 2-yard line to grab it?
And a big play here, second consecutive big play for this Tiger offense. They're coming out, wide receiver Chase Messner to the right, tight end on the right side as well. Three backs in the backfield for Gleason. Nemo in motion to the right. They're going to give it to him up the middle. Going to break through one tackle, extends the football, and it is a touchdown for the Tigers. A 3-yard run with just 9:16 left. Just under 3 minutes to go here in the third quarter. And the Tigers, a second touchdown of the game, are up 13-0.
Well, there you go. It's great to get that fumble. The turnover is playing a key role in a low scoring defensive battle like this, but none bigger than that one. And getting the turnover is fine, but you've got to stick it in after picking it up. And credit to Middlebury. A couple of misdirections there. Nemo coming in motion from the far side of the near side. Some great blocking up on the right side of that offensive line, and he walked right in.
And a little dangerous for Nemo to extend the football there at the goal line, but they're lucky that no Harford Hurricane comes in and knocks it out. But certainly a big score, and taking advantage of the opportunities have been the Tigers. DiLorenzo in here for the extra point. Snap is good. Hold is good. Kick is up and straight through yet again. 14-0 lead here for the Tigers with 9:16 left to go in the third quarter. You're listening to Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
That's right, folks. It's the most wonderful time of the year, hunting season. This is Paul from Vermont Field Sports, where you'll find everything you need for a successful season. We are proud to carry Browning's full line of hunting, shooting, and outdoor products. If you're looking for the very best in over and under, auto-loading, and pump action shotguns, Browning has the gun for you. And our staff has the experience to help you choose. Check out Browning accessories like cases, shooting bags, knives, lights, and outdoor clothing. Vermont Field Sports, located Route 7 South in Middlebury, or visit us on Facebook at VT Field Sports.
Now back to Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
I was just saying, Marshall immediately gets his play-by-play debut, and about 10 seconds later, they score. Now they'll probably score about 45 points now that we've switched play-by-play announcers.
Right. For the kickoff, DiLorenzo for the Tigers. It is Doug. I'm getting his brother mixed up, and it's going to be a long kick here. Going to be taken by McLaren at about the 15, up to the 25. cutting left. He's got a seam. Liam Smith is going to be on the tackle. The ball's on the ground again, and there's a scrum for it. It looks like Hartford may be coming up with this football, and they are going to signal for the Hurricanes to take the ball at the 42. But Liam Smith on the tackle there for the Tigers, and on the play of the recovery, excuse me, for Hurricanes was Tyler Hamilton. And certainly what would have been a worst-case scenario if they put the football on the ground for the second consecutive play, giving Middlebury the ball.
And there was a penalty on the play, too, and it's going to go against the Hartford Hurricanes. It's their seventh penalty of the game, but absolutely, and it's amazing. As good as McLaren has been, he's rushed for over 500-600 yards so far this year, and has been sure-footed, sure-handed. He was just racing down the near side and just coughed it up. I don't think he got hit. He was being pursued, but he wasn't being hit, and as it turns out, a very good break for Hartford, but they fell on the ball. But after that, yet another penalty drives him back to the 23-yard line.
Now, to correct myself, Nick Coe on the tackle there for the Tigers. But like you said, this is the situation we've seen here from Hartford, is a lot of costly mistakes. And now that penalty where they were going to have the ball at about the 42, instead it's going to be at the 22-yard line. And again, that field position conversation we've had comes back up. Farnsworth under center yet again, three backs in the backfield. In motion is Judd. He's going to hand it up the middle, and there is Wyatt LaBerge on the stop. About a one-yard gain up the gut for the Hurricanes, and that was, I believe, Walker Judd going up the middle. And now, second and 10, second and 9 here for the Hurricanes.
And Wyatt LaBerge introducing himself to Walker Judd on that play. Just a bear hug, and he went down in a heap immediately.
And it's that Judd combination in the backfield that we haven't seen a lot of production here for the Hurricanes. Walker and Hunter Judd just haven't been getting it going, and big credit here to the Tiger defensive line. And here we go, Farnsworth under center, two backs in the backfield this time, two wideouts to either side and a tight end to his left. Farnsworth drops back to pass, looking downfield. He's going to fire deep. He's going to be looking here for Cody Smith, and this one's going to be batted away, incomplete pass. Great defense there on that play side from Jack Honchel. Going to bring up a third and 9 here with 8:21 left and the ball on the Hartford 23.
Yeah, Honchel was right on him, and Farnsworth just heaved it up and turned into a jump ball situation out by midfield. But a nice 35-yard pass against the what wind is blowing right now. So a nice arm for Farnsworth, but it did turn into a jump ball, a one-on-one coverage, and he just batted it away.
And one thing we've seen a lot of from Harvard is they're trying to go deep a lot on these passways, not trying to go underneath to the short routes, which they've had a lot of success with. Rather, they're trying to just break it for a big game.
And that's what Colchester kept doing in the game against Hartford last week. There was none of the high percentage stuff. They just kept throwing bomb after bomb, and it just didn't work for them, thus 0 points in that game.
Farnsworth in the shotgun, two wide receivers to his right. He's looking to pass downfield. He's going to fire again. This one's going to be over the head of Tyler Hamilton. Incomplete pass. Going to bring up now a fourth and 9 from the 23, and Hartford's going to be forced to punt. One possession after fumbling the ball away to Middlebury at about the 40-yard line. Now Hartford's going to be giving the ball back to the Tigers, down 14, and the return man set up about the 50-yard line.
Boy, that's a tough break there for Farnsworth at Hartford. They needed that first down, and they would have had it. They had Cody Smith wide open over on the right flat, but he just overthrew him, and now they're going to have to kick it away.
Back to return is Jack Honchel and Chase Messner for the Tigers at about the 50-yard line. The kick is up, and this is going to be a high hang-time punt. Jack Honchel settle under it, and he was calling for the fair catch. Lets it bounce, and that's going to go all the way back to the Tiger 42-yard line. It looked like he could have made the play there. He was underneath it. Looks like he got cold feet as the Hartford defenders were closing in on him. That's about an 8-yard loss there for the Tigers.
Yeah, it was, and I suspect there was a little bit of screaming going on because Hartford was right there. You see Edelman a lot for the Patriots do that, where he's so completely surrounded on a fair catch by like four guys who are breathing fire at him, and it's amazing that he can concentrate and keep track of that ball. That's exactly what happened there for Honchel, and it cost him, as you said, about 8 yards on that decision.
Gleason comes out with Ali Abdusader, Corlin Fisher, and Trey Kaufman in the backfield. Two tight end sets, Sawyer Round and Brady LaRock. 8:03 left to play here in the third quarter. Ali Abdusader in motion to the right. It's going to be a handoff up the middle to Corlin Fisher, and nothing going. Big stop there for the Hartford Hurricanes from Justin Pirro, interior lineman for the Canes. It's going to bring up about a loss of 3, and now 13 to go. Ball on about the 39-yard line.
Boy, I'm glad you're doing play-by-play. These misdirections are...
it certainly helps knowing the offense a little bit, kind of having an understanding.
Yeah, Rich, I know it's the day of the game, but can you do play-by-play tonight? It's like, for all this misdirection, I'll tell you, it keeps me on my toes.
Kaufman in motion. It's going to be a pitch out to Kaufman. Ball on the turf, and Kaufman able to recover it there at about the 31. one, so they went to try to fake it inside to Fisher. Well played defensively from the Canes. Gleason on the pitch, a little bit in front of Kaufman, and now they're going to be looking at about a third down and maybe 18, 19 yards, ball on the 32-yard line.
Yeah, that's been a little bit of a problem for Middlebury. I know in the first half of that St. Jay game, they had all kinds of problems with the pitch out, and it was to Kaufman in both in the cases I saw. And, they luckily with a pitcher, it's generally so quick that there's only one guy around where it happens, in this case Kaufman, and he fell on it.
Abdul Sader in motion. They're going to give it up the middle to Cortland Fisher. Breaks one tackle, gets out to about the 40, 35-yard line, still churning, but nothing more. Maybe driven back to the 34. It's going to bring up about a 4th and 16 for the Tigers. Ball on the 34-yard line, 6:40 left to play in the third quarter, up by 14.
And if you're Middlebury, you don't want to get complacent here in the offense running. Obviously, you want to keep running the ball, and you just want to work the clock at this point. We're almost halfway through the third quarter already, in a third quarter that feels like it just started about 5 minutes ago. You also have to be careful not to sit on your laurels here, up 14 points.
DiLorenzo in to kick for Middlebury. Return man back at about the 35-yard line for Hartford. Snap is clean. Kick is away, and it's a low line drive. It's going to bounce at about the 45 and take a Tiger hop to about the 35-yard line, where the Tigers are going to sit on that one. Bruce Wright, the first man there for the Tigers. That's going to give Hartford the ball at about the 34-yard line. And real quick, we'll let you know, Tiger football brought to you by Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one, and by Vermont Field Sports for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 in Middlebury.
And by the way, if you're wondering where Bjarke is, he had a little situation with his knee on the basketball court in the Middlebury Rec League yesterday.
Yep. And we welcome his listening audience in, at least.
He'll be back, though. Hopefully, if he's back, that's good news, because that means Middlebury will be in yet another final.
Yes, sir, as Farnsworth hands up the middle to McLaren, and nothing going. Maybe a loss of one. I check myself, Bryce Landon back in under center for the Hurricanes. But McLaren, nothing doing there yet again. The same story. A loss of one brings up second and 11 for Hartford at about the 33-yard line.
And a great job by the man over on the far side turning that play in, Chase Messner. Not only did he not let him get around him, but he bear-hugged him and wrapped him up for nothing. A loss of two. It'll be second and about 11 and a half, 12 yards now.
And this Tiger defensive line is living up to the billing. It's certainly something, you know, I've seen, you have heard about a little bit this season, but they haven't allowed much going on the ground, and today's been no different. Two wideouts to the left here for Landon. He's going to toss out to this left side, and it's going to be Judd for about back to the 35-yard line, maybe a yard more, but nothing doing to this left side as they continue to try to pound the edge. Hunter Judd there gets maybe four yards. It's going to bring about third and 8.
And he got some momentum going there. He did get through the initial pursuit there through the front line and the defensive line of Middlebury, but Gleason just stuck him right there, and there was nowhere else for him to go.
And this defense, not only is it this great interior with Bruce Wright, Wyatt LaBerge, and Nick Beauchamp, but this secondary has played exceptionally well in run support today, and that's what's prevented Hartford from getting anything going on the perimeter. Landon in the shotgun here, one back to his left, four wide receivers. Drops back to pass, he's going to fire out quick, it's going to be an incomplete pass. Intended receiver was Cody Smith there at about the line of scrimmage. Ali Abdul-Slater in coverage for the Tigers. It's going to bring up fourth and about 8 yards, and the Tigers are going to get the football back. And again, and what we're talking about, field position, great field position as their tournament are going to be about their own 35-yard line.
And that's a tough break for the Hurricanes right there. The pass from Landon was right in the numbers of Cody Smith, who's now dropping back to punt, and just as the ball was about 10 feet away from him, he did a face plant, fell right down trying to make a cut, and the ball went harmlessly past him.
Messer and Honcho back to receive as the kick goes high, and it's going to be blocked by Doug DiLorenzo, and this is going to be killed at about the 38-yard line. Doug DiLorenzo coming off the perimeter for the Tigers. He almost had a block earlier in the football game. This time he gets a big piece of it, and the football is going to be at the 38-yard line, headed in for the Tigers. What a turn of events this second half has been.
Yeah, how about that? The Middlebury punter blocks a punt. It's not something you say very often, but that was the case there. The snap, that play was trouble right from the start. That snap was high. It was a floater. Cody Smith had very little time, and DiLorenzo was right on him. The kick was very low as well and went right into the belly of DiLorenzo for the block.
Two tight ends set for Gleason and the Tigers. Three men in the backfield. Nemo in motion. They're going to give to Nemo to the right. He's going to cut left, and he's going to get down to about the 28-yard line. Gain of about 10 yards at the sticks. Going to be another first down for the Tigers, and they are starting to clear some holes up inside.
And Tyler Hamilton may have just saved 6 points right there for Middlebury. It's a whole big head of steam for Nemo. And Hamilton was able to knock him down. But again, another first down. They moved the chains, and Middlebury in business.
Nemo now in motion for the Tigers. They'll go right back to him. Just about the same play. Nothing doing inside here for the Tigers on first down. In on the stop for Hartford is going to be Matthew Look. And it's going to bring up a second and nine. But Jerry Nemo, like you said, runs hard. The Tasmanian Devil, as we like to refer to him. He's run hard. He's kind of runs relentless. This time, big first down game. They go right back to him. Nothing doing. As Hartford's kind of been rather inconsistent in this here in the second half as far as stops go.
Yeah, you're starting to see them really imposing their will as far as the running goes. They have so many weapons, and they're using them all here in the second half.
Kaufman in motion for Middlebury. It's going to be a counter to Nemo. Nothing doing yet again, and there's a penalty flag is going to fly. Again, looking on the tackle for Hartford, but if this is going to be on Hartford, it'd be a big loss, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is a holding call here on Middlebury.
Yeah, exact same situation. That's the third time they've gone back to Nemo, coming in motion from the far side, going with the counter, and for the second time, and her look was right there waiting for him. They fooled him the first time, but not the second, and this one's going to be coming back anyway as Middlebury picks up their second penalty of the game.
It's going to be a chop block here on the Tigers, and I believe that will be a loss of down, but do not quote me on it. 3:27 here left to play in the third quarter. Tiger football on about the, you know, before the penalty of the 27-yard line, up 14-0 here in the Division I state semifinal. The 2-seed Middlebury on top of the 3-seed Hartford Hurricanes, 14-0.
And I checked the out-of-town scoreboard, but that iPhone looks really scary to me. I have no idea how that thing works. I still have a flip phone.
We'll work on multitasking here, as this is going to be a penalty on the Tigers. Like we said, going to bring up about a second down and right around 20 yards, as they're not going to lose any lose the down on that first down.
Yeah, my flip phone doesn't seem to be giving me any scores.
The last we knew, it was a 21-7 lead from Hartford as Austin Danforth delivered that. I believe that was at half.
From Rutland, you mean?
Yes, Rutland. Okay. I'm, you know, getting these names mixed up.
That's okay.
We continue to get what we can here from the out-of-town scoreboard. The latest update is a 28-7 lead with 3:20 left to play in the third quarter after a Rutland's Caleb White touchdown run. So the number one seed certainly playing up to their billing against CVU.
Yeah, that's no real surprise. CVU had to be happy to be there after a great win at Brattleboro last week. But they are in the 5-seed for a reason, and it looks like the Raiders are going to be playing a championship game as the home team in their home stadium next Saturday.
And the winner of this game here between the Hartford Hurricanes and Middlebury Tigers will be greeting, in all likelihood, the Rutland Raiders in Rutland. Out second down and 25 now for the Tigers. Under center is Andrew Gleason. Going to be a play fake to Corlin Fisher. Gleason keeper breaks one tackle before getting dropped at the line of scrimmage. Nothing doing again. This has been an inconsistent pass, or excuse me, rush defense, but when it's been consistent, it's been good. Now it's going to bring up a third down and 25.
Really nice play there by the Hurricanes. Jack Wozniak, he won't get credit for the tackle, but he completely messed up that play on the misdirection heading to the left side. He was not fooled in the last couple of times, whether it's Nemo or whomever it would be. Hartford's done a really good job of not being fooled by that play.
It's all about slowing down the timing of the triple option, and Wozniak did just that there, getting to Gleason early on the down. Two tight ends set again here. Gleason under center. No motion. It's going to be a counter give here to Trey Kaufman. Trey Kaufman around the edge. He's to the 40. And he's going to be dropped down by, looks like, Tyler Hamilton on the far side. Gets about 7 yards, but of course on 4th and 25, nothing more is going to help him out. And it's going to put the ball at about the 38-yard line. Tigers looking at about a 4th and 20. And that's going to be putting the football back in the hands of Hartford, but deep in their own territory.
3rd and 25, and you know, you think, oh, that's going to be a pass play. Not in that situation. Right now, especially with that second touchdown, that makes such a difference. It's clock management time. The only thing they wanted to do there was run the ball and stay in bounds, and they did.
Doug the runs are back to kick. No one's set to return here for the Hurricanes. Snap is good. DiLorenzo's punt is away. This is going to bounce at about the 23-yard line and roll in. Chase Messner waiting for it. He's going to drop down on it at about the 17-yard line. So with 1:58 to play in the third quarter, Hartford trailing by 14 has 82 yards to go if they want to get on the scoreboard here in the Division I state semifinal.
And it'll be interesting to see. you know, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but I'm not sure. I don't think the VPA has announced starting times for any of those games. Don't they usually wait to see who has to travel the furthest, just like they do with basketball in a lot of cases? Okay, so we'll wait and see. But either way, well, obviously we don't want to get way ahead of ourselves here, but the way the Middlebury defense is playing right now, it certainly is looking like a promising possibility.
Landing comes out, tight end and wide receiver two is right, three backs in the backfield. Going up the middle, and it's a big gain across the 35. Down to about the 37 there is Walker Judd for Hartford. And Judd has kind of been there, one big back who's produced some, you know, occasional long runs. But for the Hurricanes, it just hasn't been consistent there. It's going to be first and 10 here at about the 33. Let me correct myself.
And, of course, 5 seconds after I announce it, looks pretty promising here. They break one. It's a good thing Abdul Sader was there. He got smacked on that play as Walker Judd had a ton of speed, a ton of momentum, but Ali Abdul Sader held his ground. It's a good thing he did, because if he gets by him, that's six.
Under center again is Landon, and he gives it up the middle to Walker Judd, and nothing doing yet again. Is this going to be, I believe that's Nick Beauchamp. No, let me correct myself again. That was Nick Beauchamp, excuse me, up the middle for the Tigers, as is the play of Maverick Payne.
Yeah, Payne
and
is there.
1 yard gain brings up second and 9.
Yeah, Payne smelled that one perfectly and really snuffed it out. There was absolutely nowhere for Judd to go. The second the ball was handed to him, Payne was right on him.
Payne filling in for Bruce right here on the defensive front for the Tigers. Two tight ends set for Landon. Going to give to McLaren. Cuts up inside, but nowhere to go. And it's going to be Nick Beauchamp on the tackle as Wyatt LaBerge is closing in on him. Back to the line of scrimmage and nothing more. Third and 9. We're under 1 minute to play here in the third quarter.
And again, you won't get the credit, but Jerry Nemo messing that play up. As you said, it's all about timing on a lot of these plays. Nemo got just enough of that paw on the ball carrier to slow everything down and allow his line mates to come up and pursue the play for a short gain.
And now looking at 3rd and 9 on the 34-yard line. No first downs here. Excuse me, one first down for the Hartford Hurricanes here in the second half. And it was the fumble on their opening drive that led to the Tiger football touchdown to make it 14-0. Landon in shotgun, dropping back to pass. Looking up, has to step up in the pocket, and is going to get dropped down in the backfield by Brady LaRocque. And a 3rd and 9 sack brings up 4th and 15 with under 20 seconds to play. In all likelihood, will be our last play of the third quarter. But a stifling Tiger defense throughout the third quarter. One fumble recovery, the first sack of the game there for Brady LaRocque is going to force a Hartford punt. But as time clicks away, this is going to be the end of the third quarter. We're going to head to the fourth in the Division I semifinal. Number 2 ranked Middlebury up 14-0 over number 3 ranked Hartford. You're listening to Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
National Bank of Middlebury is there for you 24/7. Buying a home, sending your kids to college, or starting a new business? They're here to make it happen, helping families and businesses achieve their dreams since 1831. With offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virgins, or online at nbmvt.com, or on your mobile phone, anytime, anywhere. Bank real, live real. National Bank of Middlebury. Member FDIC, equal housing lender, equal opportunity employer.
A great way to start off your day is with Monument Farms hot chocolate. Just pop their signature chocolate milk in the microwave and you have instant delicious hot chocolate. Great for the kids before they head outdoors and to school. You can find all Monument Farms local products in many area stores. And if you live nearby, please stop into their popular dairy store Mondays through Fridays. Monument Farms, landmark quality from the heart of Vermont in Weybridge.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
I can't remember the last time I ate.
Harvard into punt here. This is going to be back. Chase Messner set to field it at the 36-yard line. Going to slip through his hands. Jack Hondra picks it up at the 30. Going to cut a little bit, but nothing doing there. He's going to get dropped by a herd of Hurricanes at the 30-yard line. So the Tiger football going to take over on offense. Up 14-0 here to start the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Messner was not able to get his hands on that, and that was a pretty dangerous play. And poor Anshul, by the time he was able to go back, I thought he might play it safe, especially with a 14-0 lead and just fall on that. But he decided to try to pick it up and run with it, and by the time he did, there was nothing but white shirts surrounding him.
Gleason, two wideouts, Nick Cohen, Chase Messner outside. The halfbacks, Trey Kaufman and Ali Abdul Sader in the slot. Abdul Sader in motion. Play action fake up the middle. They're going to keep it. Gleason around the edge, and he's going to get about to the 37-yard line before being brought down, a gain of about 8 yards. And a good fake inside there to Parker Gross, and that attracted a lot of Hurricanes before Gleason able to keep it to the edge. Going to bring up about a second and two here for the Tigers.
Yeah, and that is perfect for Middlebury. Up two touchdowns. We start the fourth quarter. And what does Dennis Smith want more than anything in the world? 8 yard runs on first down. That's exactly what you want. Although it wasn't eight, it's about five or six. But anything that's going to get you 6-7 yards in first down, it gives you so many options and keeps the clock moving.
Four wideouts again. Parker Gross in the backfield for Gleason under center. Going to give to Gross in a little trap play up the middle. Going to get to the 40-yard line. Truck forward to about the 42. Five-yard gain, enough for the first down. Tigers are moving here. Opening drive of the fourth quarter, and they're getting a first down. And certainly for a Hartford team that's kind of on their heels, pushing them back even
more. Yeah, that is the last thing the Hurricanes won. And Justin Perra was all over the runner there on that play. And great work by Gross, just carrying him. Second effort. Backing up, keeping the legs going, and that's such a key for a running back, is just keep them churning, and it was enough for a first down.
And certainly he got met right at the line of scrimmage, able to push through and get that first down. Four wide out still for Gleason under center. Going to toss out quickly to Ali Abdul-Sader, and it's going to be an incomplete pass. They're going to rule it a forward pass in the backfield. And certainly for the Middlebury Tigers, they're going to take that one, as it would have been a loss of two had that been a completion. But that quick screen for the Tigers, the first time we've seen that tonight, unsuccessful, even if really if they made that completion.
Yeah, even if you Pats fans know that play real well. They only do it about 37 times a game, and usually for more success than that, because that was a short hop for Abdul-Sader, and there's nothing he could do about it.
Ball on the 42, second and 10. Trey Kaufman in motion. Fake up the middle. They're going to give it to Parker Gross, and he's going to get about 5 yards to the 47-yard line. Going to bring up a third and five, and that, you know, on second 10, that's kind of the perfect play right there for the Tigers. You don't need all of it. You know, kind of consider, you know, cut it in half. When you got second, third and long, kind of cut that in half to make the next down more manageable, and certainly third and five it is.
And if you're the Hartford defense right now, this is a really big play coming up here, third and five. They absolutely are getting to the point. I mean, when it was 7-0, it's a completely different situation, but Middlebury gets the fumble, sticks it in the end zone to start the second half. Leads at two touchdowns, and that matters a lot in this play.
Abdul-Sader in motion. They're going to keep it again. Toss out to Sader. He's going to get it at the 45, and he's going to get dropped at about the line of scrimmage. There on the stop for Hartford was 46, Justin Koloski, and that's going to bring up fourth and five. And really that big stop that you just mentioned, Hartford's going to get it, and that's going to force Doug DiLorenzo into punt. That deep to return here for the Hurricanes is Tyler Hamilton.
Yeah, Gleason kind of left Abdul-Sader, hung him out to dry a little bit on that one. He wasn't quite sure whether he wanted to pitch it on the option out, and he waited very late, and they're lucky they didn't fumble that ball.
Hamilton standing at the 20, anticipating the DiLorenzo punt. Snap is good. DiLorenzo kick is up and away. Another line drive. Going to be taken by Hamilton. Bounces off of him, and it's going to be a little scrum for the football. Live ball, but it looks like Hamilton's going to come up with this one at about the 27-yard line. So Hartford is putting the ball on the ground a lot here in the second quarter. Lost one fumble. Second one they've had to recover on their own. But now they'll get first and 10 here from their own 27, down by 14.
Boy, I'll tell you, if I'm Tyler Hamilton, I wanted nothing to do with that kick. It's like that play when you're at third base, and you're in that in-between hop. You go up and try to grab it on the short hop. It's hard enough to do it with a baseball. You can imagine what it's like with the pigskin. You have no idea where it's going to hit. And a very good break there for Hartford. But now they need to take these little victories, like not fumbling that play away, and do something with it offensively.
9:16 left to play here in the fourth quarter. Hartford trailing 14-0, ball at their own 28. Landon under center, two wideouts, three men in the backfield. In motion is Judd. He's going to give it up the middle to Walker Judd. Walker Judd across the 35, taken down, still spinning, down to the 45-yard line. Gain of about maybe 13 yards to the 44, and a perfect first down play there for the Hurricanes as they get a first and 10, moving now to the 44-yard line of their own 44-yard line.
And that is something they've been waiting for, the Hartford fans, and there are a ton of them across the way, a packed house over there in the visitors' grandstand, waiting to see that. That is what we saw all year long from the Hurricanes. Big holes left side. And a big gain on first down.
First and 10, ball on the 44-yard line. McLaren in motion. And Landon going to drop back the pass. Looking downfield. He's going to fire deep. Looking for Cody Smith. Cody Smith in, reels it in, but is able to. It pounces out at the 25-yard line as Cody Smith hit the turf. And he is certainly upset with himself on that one. It would have been a great diving catch for Cody Smith. But as he hits the turf, the ball comes popping out. And what would have been a giant gain for the Hurricanes turns into an incompletion.
Does your mother always deliver all this food?
She does. She does a great job.
Oh, my gosh. You're my favorite person in the world. Thank you.
Second and 10 here as Val has brought in a couple donuts, a hot dog, some waters.
Wow.
Supplying the goods for us here.
Yes, it's the radio diet. Donuts for supper.
Landon comes out. One tight end, wide receiver, three men in the backfield. Going to give up the middle to Walker Judd. Walker Judd going to be brought down at about the 50-yard line. Gain of six for the Hurricanes. And again, that second and 10, make it manageable for third down. Third down at about four as the clock hits 8:30 left to play here in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that helps. No question about it. But that incompletion, it was, I mean, it was a very tough play. You had to dive for it. But that hurts when you're at second and 10 and you've just got to get something going. And so now there's a set up a third and five. You could imagine this is four down territory no matter what happens here.
Landon in the shotgun, two men in the backfield looking to pass downfield, and he's going to throw a short and incomplete in and out of the hands there of Andrew Gleason at the Tiger 43-yard line. It's going to bring up fourth down and four from midfield here for Hartford. And are we entering fourth down or four down territory here for Hartford?
I would absolutely think so. I mean, they've had one red zone trip, came out of it with nothing, and since then they haven't even been close. So I would imagine you've got to go for it here, and they are.
And they are. They're going to come out, land in the shotgun. Four receivers, one man in the backfield with him. Snap looks to pass downfield, looking underneath. He's got Walker Judd, and he's going to go on. It's going to be intercepted by Ali Abdul-Sader. Abdul-Sader's going to step out at the 43-yard line, and that's going to be Tiger football. Frankly, you know, not a position where you need to really intercept the ball. If you bat that down, you get it at midfield.
Yep.
You get the stat sheet of an interception here as the Tigers are getting the ball at the 43-yard line. We lost kind of 7 yards on the interception, but regardless, a four-down hold. Tigers are getting the ball back with 8 minutes left.
Yeah, you try telling a 17, 18-year-old kid not to intercept that in a state semi final with all your friends and family here and a big crowd. That's just an automatic reaction, but you're right. It would have been better if he had just batted it down, but better safe than sorry. Make the play, and Middlebury with a huge play there on fourth down, and they are really in control now.
Andrew Gleason under center, trips to the left in a bunch formation. Cortland Fisher in the backfield, and they're going to give to Fisher up the middle. He's going to get about 2 yards to the 45-yard line. Going to bring up about a second, maybe 3 yards, second and seven for the Tigers. We're under 8 minutes to play here in the fourth.
This really reminds me a lot of past Middlebury teams in the sense we're coming into the playoffs. All everybody's talking about is the fact that they put 50 points on the board every single week, and everyone's raving about their offense and Austin Robinson and all the other guys. And then when it comes down to it, when the playoffs come around, it seems like, as I recall, it was the defense that really rose up, and that has certainly been the case tonight.
And now, despite the fact that you go to this high-tempo offense, you kind of can afford to take a little bit more time on this drive now, try to burn as much clock as possible. Trips again to the left, and it's going to be a timeout here for the Tigers. We got 7:21 left to play here in the fourth quarter. The Tigers over to the Hurricanes, 14-0. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Houston's Farm Supply and Bridport carries the high-pressure cleaning equipment that gets the job done right. Let them show you the Hotzi hot and cold pressure washers. Available in electrical, all voltages, and gas or diesel propane. Houston's Farm Supply is a full-service dealer carrying all parts and accessories, plus a full line of detergents from 5-gallon pails to 55-gallon drums. When it comes to high-power pressure washers, you'll find the best, Hotzi, at Houston's Farm Supply on the Crown Point Road in Bridport.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WBTK.
Welcome back to Tiger Football here at Doc Collins Field. Excuse me, a little dry throat from the donut. 45-yard line, Tigers facing the second down, 7 yards. Trips formation for Gleason under center. He's going to roll out to his left. Looking to pass, he's going to tuck it now at the 40 and get driven out of bounds at about the 41 there by Brett McLaren. 7:10 left to play here in the fourth quarter. The Tigers on top of Hartford, 14-0. Looking at a third down about 8. And to recap you real quick on this second half of action, the opening drive for Hartford put the ball on the ground at about the 42-yard line. Ends up being a 3-yard touchdown run as the Tigers respond on a long drive for this game, at least 42 yards later, to put themselves up 14-0. Only one first down here for Hartford in the second half. Nemo in motion. Gleason fakes inside, tosses out to Nemo. Nemo going to be spinning down and gets to about maybe the line of scrimmage as Gleason took a shot there from Matthew Look as he pitched it away. That's going to bring up fourth and about 9 yards from their own 43-yard line. And although Hartford hasn't gotten much going, Middlebury does have a touchdown here in this second half, but that was the result of a long
pass connection between Andrew Gleason and Brady LaRocque.
Yeah, and Hartford's going for it here as far as all out. There's nobody to receive this. They have to have something big happen here.
Doug DiLorenzo back. Nothing blocked today for the backup punter replacing Oakley Gordon, who got hurt. Low snap, well fielded for Doug DiLorenzo, and he's going to punt this one away. End over end is going to roll down to about the 15-yard line before Chase Messler picks that one up. But Doug DiLorenzo, what a play there. It's not big. It looks just like fielding the ground ball, but a great play in the back.
What is the one thing you don't want to have happen there if you're Middlebury with a 14-point lead? Punting the ball away is a bad snap, and it was a one-hopper, and DiLorenzo, I'll tell you, he's going to get some MVP votes for this game tonight. He has come off the bench and done a great job with a couple extra points and a lot of punts and a huge play right there. If that ball gets behind him, Hartford's in business.
And Hartford now down by 14, 5:55 left to play here in the fourth quarter. Ball on their own 15-yard line. Landon coming out, two backs in the backfield, two wideouts to his right. Man in motion, he's going to give it up the middle to Walker Judd. Judd to about the 17-yard line before the Tiger defense swarms and brings him down. Jerry Nemo in on the stick for the Tigers, as well as Nick Beauchamp, the nose tackle for the Tigers. And again, you get about maybe 3-4 yards. Brings up about a second down and 6 here for Hartford.
Yeah, you've got to start going to the air, I think, at this point, if for no other reason other than obviously try to pick up first downs to keep the clock not moving. Because at this point, running the ball, that's what's going to get you. It's going to get you the clock moving. And they're already down to 5:25 left to go and needing two touchdowns.
Two wideouts for Landon under center. He's going to drop back and pass. He's got a quick pass out to Cody Smith. Cody Smith catches it out of the 35, cuts down. He's going to be brought down by Ali Abdul-Sader at the 40-yard line. So a gain of about 21 yards for Hartford, and there's that passing attack. Big first down for the for Hartford getting out to the 40-yard line.
And it's a safe one, too, because it's towards the sideline, and yet he, I don't believe, got out of bounds. He did not. But, yeah, at this point, you've got to start thinking about, A, complete the pass, B, get the heck out of bounds.
Absolutely. Three timeouts left for Hartford. 5 minutes left to play here in this D1 semifinal. In motion is Hunter Judd. Landon drops back to pass, looking downfield, and in swarming because this Tiger defense. That's going to be Bruce Wright on the sack. Raiding in the yards was Jerry Nemo and Nick Beauchamp, but no one opened downfield. Leads to a bit of a coverage sack for Landon, who at the onset of that play had plenty of time in the backfield.
I was just going to say, he's back to pass, but there's only one guy going out to pass against four guys waiting for him in the secondary. As Hartford sent Brandon Gaudette, the senior tight end, out deep, but he was the only one out there. It was nothing but black shirts waiting for him. So, yeah, a classic coverage sack there, and they made it easy.
After a 21-yard gain for Hartford, a loss of 5 on the sack, this is going to be a toss out for, looks like to be, Hunter Judd, and he's going to get about 4 or 5 yards back to the original line of scrimmage, so it's going to bring up about a 3rd and 10.5 yards here for Hartford as the clock ticks down to 4:06 left to play here in the fourth quarter. And really quick, we'll let you know that Tiger Football brought to you by the A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, Sustainable Timber Harvesting, and SFI Certified.
And again, in that situation, it was somewhat of a sweep, but it wasn't a sweep with the intention of getting out of bounds. And right now, if I'm Hartford, that's the only thing that matters, is get out of bounds.
Four wideouts here for Landon. Walker Judd in the backfield out of the shotgun. Landon high, a little bloop of a snap. He's looking downfield. He's going to fire, looking for Tyler Hamilton, and that's going to be an incomplete pass off the fingertips of Hamilton at about the Tiger 40. Going to bring up fourth down and 11 with 3:35 left to play here in the fourth quarter. Tigers on top of the Hurricanes, 14-0.
Yeah, trying to thread the needle there. Bryce Landon to Tyler Hamilton into double coverage, a timing pattern down the near sideline, and it almost worked, but Landon just overthrew him.
Tiger Football brought to you by Monument Farms of Weybridge. Join the movement and support local farms. And by Husis Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Husis family of Bridport. Fourth down and 11. Hurricanes, of course, will be going for it with 3:35 left to play. Three wideouts for Landon out of the shotgun. He's going to roll to his left. Look downfield, firing deep, looking for Hamilton, but well overthrown. And the Tigers smartly this time let this one drop rather than intercept it. And the Tigers are going to get the football with 3:26 left to play in the fourth quarter at the Hartford 39-yard line, up by 14. And certainly, you got to think at this point, the opportunity to ice the game at hand.
Yeah, and another strange call. You're going on a low percentage play right there, throwing a bomb into, two-on-four, basically, in that situation. Fourth and long, I feel like maybe hit a quick hitter over the middle or something else, or maybe down by the sideline. But they went for the bomb there on fourth down, and, yeah, now they're going to have to use their timeouts, and obviously Middlebury will keep the ball on the ground here.
Two tight end set, three backs in the backfield for Andrew Gleason under center. He's going to give it to Ali Abdul-Sader up the middle. He's going to cut left real quick. Gets dropped down out of there, about a five-yard gain at the 34-yard line. Going to bring up a second down and five for Middlebury as a timeout here for Hartford. Timeout for Hartford with 3:18 left. We're going to step away. We'll be right back. This is the Division I semifinal on 92.1. You are listening to Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
How many times have you really felt good about the financial institution you deal with? The people who use all the varied services of One Credit Union on Green Street in Vergennes do. It might be because One Credit Union is known for their unmatched personal service. This service is provided by people you like to work with, not by people you have to work with. Low-fee banking services provided by people you like. It all adds up to One Credit Union. If your bank doesn't add up to that, it's time for a change. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Two tight end set for Gleason. Ali Abdul-Sader jets across behind him. It's going to be a counter give to Trey Kaufman. He's going to cut up to about the 36-yard line before he is dropped by Hartford's number 55, Bailey Knott, in on the stop. It's going to bring up about a third and five. That's going to be another timeout with 3:11. You're listening. We'll take a break. You're listening to Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Change is good, especially if you're not happy with the current situation. Bordon Insurance Agency wants to let you know that they'll be there for you if and when you want to make that change. With local agents that live right here in your community. For home, auto, office, farm, boat, you name it, they can provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of all your insurances. Bordon Insurance, Merchants Row, downtown Middlebury, and at BordonInsurance.com. Bordon Insurance, local people insuring local people.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Back at Doc Collins Field, 3:11 left to play in the fourth quarter. Tigers dealing with a third and three from the 32-yard line of Hartford. It's going to be a counter to Ali Abdul-Sader. Breaks one tackle in the backfield, cuts upfield before getting slumped at the 31-yard line. Going to be about 2 yards short of the first down. You know, inventing adjectives back here, Rich.
I'm trying to think what slumped was part of two different words. Slapped and stomped?
I think it's just the emphasis of it. Another timeout, the final one for Hartford here with 3:02 left to play in the fourth quarter. We'll step aside for our break here. You're listening to Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Now back to the field for more Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Back at Doc Collins Field, 3:02 left to play. Tigers on 4th and 2 from the 31, up 14-0 over the Hartford Hurricanes. Doug DiLorenzo back to punt. No one back to return for Hartford, and yet they haven't been bringing the house for the blocks on these scenarios. Snap is good. DiLorenzo set, punts, and this one another end-over-end punt and back, and this one's going to just barely bounce into the end zone for a touchback. It's certainly an opportunity for Doug DiLorenzo. He was looking for that kind of soft punt, but just didn't get the bounce that he wanted. But with 2:54, Hartford no timeouts left, down by 14, starting from their own 20.
Yeah, I think he wanted to get that one a little higher, too, at least give his teammates a chance to get under it with a push punt there. But so, as it turns out, instead of going for it at the 31, it comes out to the 20. So, they gained 11 yards on that, I suppose. But obviously a real tall order here for Hartford. And the big thing here is that they're out of timeouts. So they're going to have to run some sideline patterns. If they run the ball at all, they're going to have to go sideways here.
Landing comes out, three backs in the backfield. They're going to start off with a carry up the middle. And this is going to be Tyler Hamilton. Gets out to about the 28-yard line. Gain of 8 for the Hurricanes. It's going to bring up a second down and 2 with the clock running now with 2:40 left. And, you know, not the terrible play. You know the clock's going to run. You get 8 yards on it. And they go hurry up. Trips to the left here for Landon in the shotgun. Walker Judd to his left. He's going to look left to pass. The lefty fires. And this one's going to go high and incomplete. Intended pass was Cody Smith at about the 40-yard line. And so now with 2:28 left, third and two here for the Hartford Hurricanes from the 28-yard line.
Yeah, Cody Smith has been their guy all year long. This is the third time I've had a chance to see Hartford, and he's had a couple of big games leading up to this one. But so far tonight, Landon's had a little trouble hitting him. He's been overthrowing him a lot, and that was the case right there.
And certainly when you're a run-based team, when you're forced to pass it, it's not what your offense is accustomed to. You're not as sound in that development, and we're seeing that right now. Three backs in the backfield, tight end and a wide receiver for Landon. They're going to go to counter play action. He's got a man underneath, but pressure coming. Landon's going to try to scramble away, but it's going to be Brady LaRocque in on the sack for the Tigers. The third sack here of the second half for Middlebury, and that's going to bring up fourth and 10 with 2:12 left to play here in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, obviously they're going to have to go for it here, and talk about having your back against the wall here, down 14 with 2 minutes to go and no timeouts.
Fourth and 11 for Landon. He's going to roll to his left, looking downfield. He's going to fire, and it's going to be incomplete at the 40. They're about the 36-yard line, and that is just going to all about wrap this thing up. With 1:53, the Tigers up 14-0, and no way for Hartford to stop the ball. I think we've got our state championship set as Rutland on top of CVU right now, 35-14.
And who's surprised about this? Rutland and Middlebury kind of saw that one, maybe with Hartford with a chance here, but this Middlebury defense has absolutely risen to the occasion and challenge tonight. And what a performance for the D. Just enough offense, just enough ball control, just enough keeping possession, moving the chains just enough to let the defense do what it's done all night long.
Two wideouts in here for Andrew Gleason. Three backs, Nemo in motion. Give to Nemo up the middle. He's going to cut down for about a 5-yard gain to the 15-yard line. And this second half splurge here from Nemo has been productive. They've gone to him on multiple occasions. And the first down 5-yard carry gives up second and 5 now from about the 15-yard line. 1:35 left to play.
And obviously the one thing about Oakley Gordon going down, there's really nothing good about that, obviously. But if it's going to happen, have it happen really early in the game, because now it gives Gleason the chance to run the offense virtually for an entire game heading into next week.
Two tight ends, Nemo in motion, and they'll go right back to Nemo up the middle, and untouched in for a 14-yard touchdown is Jerry Nemo with 1:16 left, and that will be the icing on the cake for the Tigers, who have dominated the second half. They have great field position, two carries for Nemo for 20 yards, and he punches in his second touchdown of the second half.
Time to start putting up the roadside signs down Route 7 heading to Rutland. The tradition continues for MUHS.
And just an impressive game here for the Tigers, especially in the second half on both sides of the ball, but in particular on defense. They've allowed, I think, maybe 3 first downs this entire second half, and they have completely stuffed a Hartford offense that you would assume would have a little bit of confidence, but it just none of it working today, either through the air or on the ground for the Hurricanes. Extra point in here, unit in here for the Tigers, DiLorenzo. Back to kick. Snap is good. Hold is down. Kick is up and through. DiLorenzo now 3 for 3 on extra point attempts. And the Tigers with 1:16 left, up 21-0. And folks in Middlebury, you can all but start punching that ticket to Castleton. We got 1:16 left to play in this Division II semifinal. Middlebury on top, 21-0. You are listening to Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark.
Set, fly, ready, fly, ready, hut.
Hey, Martin, it's fun to watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
The MUHS Tigers play here. WVTK, Port Henry, Virgins, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
Back at Doc Collins Field, the Tigers up 21-0 over the Hartford Hurricanes with 1:16 left to play in the fourth quarter. A 14-yard touchdown run from Jerry Nemo, the latest score here in the second half. DiLorenzo, short little punt down at about the 30-yard line. Picked up by Jack Wozniak. He's going to break to the outside and be brought down at about the 43-yard line. for Hartford, and with 108 left now, basically all you can do if you're Hartford is hope that you can at least not be shut out here in the state semifinal, as the Tigers are 108 away from their 32nd consecutive win and their third consecutive trip to the state championship game in Rutland and not Castleton.
I can't even imagine what this must be like. You're here every week. You've been here your whole life. I mean, what does it feel like going into a game just knowing you're going to win?
You know, I can't say I was a part of the 33-game winning streak, so right. I can't answer that, but certainly this the feel in Middlebury right now is that invincible type. McLaren in motion for Hartford. They're going to give it to him up the middle. He's going to trudge his way to about the 49-yard line across midfield for about a 7-yard gain. And with 1 minute left, it's going to bring up 2nd and 3 for Hartford.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought about it because there were games this year. There was a close one. I think it was with Essex, of course, the Colchester 4-point victory. There were games that were very close at halftime. And you just start to wonder at some point, are they going to lose a game? But it didn't feel that way tonight.
2 wideouts for Landon. He's going to fire out to Cody Smith. It's going to be a completion about the 38. 1 cut for him before he's tripped up, getting out of bounds at the 34-yard line. So with 36 seconds left here in the fourth quarter, down by 21, Hartford just trying to make this thing look like it was at least, you know, somewhat productive on offense, trying to get something on the board here late.
Yeah, and Hartford opens the playoffs with a shutout last week at home. Now they come to Middlebury and find themselves at the other end of the deal, and I'm sure they can't be too thrilled about it. But this was a statement year for the Hurricanes, coming off a 3-6 season after all their success. So they've got to be happy at least with that.
McLaren in motion for Landon. Landon drops back to pass, fires across the middle, and it's going to be in and out of the hands of Kyle Desabray in the secondary for the Tigers. Would have been a big opportunity for the senior role player to come in and get an interception as Landon was looking for Cody Smith downfield.
He's going to be seeing that one in his dreams tonight. I mean, it could not have been more in his breadbasket, right between the 2 and the 5, and he had a lot of time to think about it. You know, it was heading his way, and there was no one around, so that was probably part of the problem.
Certainly plenty of reserves here for the Tigers, but certainly reliable reserves. Liam Smith and Nick Coe in the backfield with Kyle Desabray in the secondary backfield, that is. Landon under center for the Hurricanes. In motion is McLaren yet again. Looking to pass downfield. He's going to look for Hunter Judd, and that's going to be in and out of the hands of the junior running back downfield at about the 18-yard line. And had Judd caught that, he had running room to go for 6. But it's an incomplete pass. Brings up 3rd down and 10 with 22 seconds left to play.
Yeah, really can't fault Landon. Maybe a little high on that pass, but boy, I'll tell you, we haven't really noticed it much because the game's been so intense. But let's face it, it's a chilly night here.
And
you get a high, hard bullet of a pass like that when it's a little hard to bring down, especially this late when you got the stone hands going.
And certainly Landon has not put the ball every time on the receiver, but hasn't been helped out too much. A couple drops here from the Hartford receiving class. In motion again is McLaren, and this one's on the turf, and Landon's going to fall on it with 17 seconds left.
That's
probably going to do it here for the Tigers' victory. The Tigers, for the 3rd straight season, they're going to win off 10 straight games, runs the winning streak to 32 games. We got 5 seconds and 1 last play for the Hurricanes. They're going to give it up the middle to Walker Judd. Walker Judd breaks free, and he's going to come in and get stuck by Kyle Desabray at about the 18-yard line. But that's going to do it. The Tigers are headed back to Rutland. The 32-game win streak is alive and well, 21-0 to the tune of it. And the Hartford Hurricanes are down in the semifinals, the same field that saw the Tigers defeat Hurricanes and end a 27-game winning streak, sees the Tigers extend their winning streak to 32 games. We'll be in Rutland next week as the Tigers go for the three-peat and win number 33 in a row. We'll be back right after this, and Rich will give us a scoring update and his intake on this football game. You're listening to Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24/7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years. When it comes to snowmobiling, it's always better to ride more. Well, a great place to start is by heading to Champlain Valley Motorsports right away, where you can check out the whole line of the 2016 Arctic Cat snowmobiles.
Share your passion for the sport of snowmobiling and pick up a new sled and enjoy the beauty of what Vermont offers this winter. They have the model you want with a great selection of 2- and 4-stroke engines. If you want to do more cruising, then you need to ride an Arctic Cat ZR7000 LXR. Its performance and luxury features will have you smiling mile after mile. If you're a racing animal, this year's ZR Snow Pros and Limiteds are scratching at the door, ready to get outside and blow away the competition. Looking for the perfect crossover? The XF Series will take you anywhere your spirit leads. The trails are calling, so hurry to Champlain Valley Motorsports today on Route 30 in Cornwall. Hop on a new Arctic Cat sled, get out there, and ride more. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and drive. Arctic Cat, share our passion.
Denneker Chevrolet is continuing the Truck Month celebration. Now Tom Denneker is calling it Trucktober, and they've got some scary good deals going. They're rolling out all the truck stops now so you can have the truck of your dreams. Get 0% for 60 months, plus $4,750 in total cash allowance on a 2015 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab. It's a Trucktacular. The Chevy Silverado, one of the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickups on the road. And at Denneker Chevrolet, they tested it. From zombies to vampires, toddlers to teens, this truck is a winner. Plus, you can get up to 15% off or 0 for 72 on the Cruze, Malibu, Equinox, and Traverse, or up to $2,000 off the Impala. Over 250 new and certified pre-owned vehicles in stock. Visit Denneker Chevrolet to celebrate these scary good deals. Plus, Trucktober. Free Vermont state inspections for as long as you own your vehicle and always guaranteed credit approval. Denneker Chevrolet on Route 7 in Middlebury in Virgins and at DennekerChevrolet.com.
Denneker Chevrolet.
Desabray Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Virgins and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WVTK.
Rich Haskell, Marshall Hastings back here at Doc Collins Field at Middlebury Union High School, where we have seen the Tigers win yet again for the 32nd time in a row and heading for the third straight year to the Division I football title in Rutland next week with a 21-0 victory. Real quickly, Gleason with an 8-yard run, DeLorenzo with the extra point, 2:18 left in the first half, and little did we know at the time, Marshall, but that was your game-winning score right there. It was 7-0, and then Nemo with a 3-yard run in the third. He also tacked on a 14-yard touchdown run in the fourth. Your final score was 21-0, and I think the star of the game today, pretty easy to pick.
Thanks a lot, Rich. I'm going to call you Bjarke. Our JP Carrera, player of the game, senior running back and defensive back, Jack Honchel. Jack, congratulations, 32 straight wins. I obviously can't understand that. What's it like now, 32 straight games, a third straight trip to a state championship?
Oh, it feels great. The guys are just working hard, and we're working hard in practice, and it's showing off. Showing up on the field.
Now you come in here, you're facing Hartford, a team you haven't seen yet. You know, you look at the schedule, a lot of people kind of were criticizing the fact that you guys haven't played anyone big. That the one big team played Colchester, they gave you everything you could handle. You had a big fourth quarter rally in that one. What does it mean to come out, play a team like Hartford, a team that a lot of people, like we said, has been talked up as one of the best teams in the state, and shut them out?
Well, I felt great. It shows that we really are legit this year, and I don't know how to say it. It feels good, and
Well, hey, the defense played outstanding. Hey, don't worry about it. The defense played outstanding. And one thing that we noticed was that a lot of the times you guys were stuffing them, but then what they do is they just break a long play. And you guys were kind of in a bend-don't-break scenario. Second quarter, less than a minute left to play. It's a 4th-and-15 for them on the 15-yard line. They go to that out route. You're able to make the stick at the 2-yard line, force the guy out of bounds. You're only up 7-0 at the time. They get up. They get the ball to start the second half. How big was that last stick there to preserve the shutout going into halftime?
Well, they got the ball back at halftime, so, well, that stopped their momentum, and when they came out, we played great on defense again and held them to nothing.
Now, early in the game, they had a 4th-and-2. They're trying to get something, and they end up getting the first down, but you come up and you lay the lumber. How good did it feel early on to get this team that you kind of, you know, everyone's been talking about Hartford, Rutland, these are the teams to beat. You come out and you just get that early pop. Did that kind of get your guys' confidence going, a little self, you know, knowing that you can play with these guys, you're going to deliver the shots?
It showed that our defense means business, and our defense is legit. And we really rallied around Oakley and how he was hurt, and all the boys were fired up to play this game for him, and we came out and we shut him out. So,
one more quick question here before you get to go celebrate this third straight trip to the state championship game. You mentioned Oakley Gordon. He goes down. Chris Greer goes down with a little bit of injury. What's it going to mean? You guys got to have to find some way to, you know, maybe not get them back, but what does this next week of practice look like, knowing you're going to potentially be missing one, maybe two of the big names of this football team?
Yeah, well, they're great players and everything, but we got some really good backups, and they stepped up, and they showed that they can play this week, so.
Great. Well, hey, we look forward to see you guys in Rutland. Going for the three-peat against the hometown team. You're going to be playing Rutland in Rutland. So certainly a lot of excitement there. Jack Honchel, a JP Career Player of the Game. Congratulations, Jack. Enjoy the win. Enjoy the week. Best of luck next week.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll toss those headset back over to Rich. And Rich, as you had the brief opportunity to do with the scoring recap, well, there wasn't much of it. You know, Middlebury came up and Hartford came up. The defense, as we expected, they were there throughout this football game.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me the final was going to be a 3-touchdown separation, I would have told you that. I doubt it. You know, it just felt, it was one of those games that it was weird because you look at it and you see it in the morning paper at 21-0 and you go, oh, that was easy. Really wasn't. It was a 7-0 game for most of the time, and they didn't score that, you know, that first touchdown until there was 2 minutes left in the first half. So it was a real dogfight for quite a while. But, yeah, clearly that play, with Nemo going in after the reverse on the punt, that was the play of the game, really. I think that changed everything, because when you're playing defense like the Tigers were, especially in that second half, it's a tough situation if you're Hartford to come back from 7 down, let alone 14.
Yeah, and the big return there, like you mentioned, the Jack Honchley takes it, fields it at the 40, and ends up getting down to about the 15-yard line, and that completely changed the landscape of this football game, because we were talking throughout the first half that this was going to be a game of field position.
Yeah.
And it turned into that, and Middlebury just takes advantage of that one, and they take advantage of getting the ball on the 42-yard line to start the second half, and that changes everything, and now you get to go for a third straight state championship game, 33 straight wins in Rutland against Rutland. You know, I can't picture a better scenario right now as far as storylines go than that.
Well, 1-2 worked out exactly as it's supposed to. That's why they seed them, and it's going to be interesting. And yeah, as you said earlier in the game, Middlebury will literally be the road team. They'll be wearing the road uniforms because they are officially the visiting team in that game, but they will very much quite seriously be the visiting team. Mm-hmm. But you know the whole town's going to be down there. They're going to be putting the signs out on Route 7, and it's going to be a great atmosphere. We'll wait and find out which game they're going to have. We'll see. But one thing we do know is they will be playing Rutland, the number one seed. They beat CVU tonight down at RHS by a score of 35-14. The other game I had a score on, this is interesting, because Burlington is hanging in with Bellows Falls. It's fourth quarter, and the Terriers lead the Seahorses 28-21 in Division II. And I've had a chance to see both of those teams quite a bit this year, and I thought the Terriers were going to roll in that game, but they did not. And Milton has Burton tomorrow, and that's where I'm heading right now. I'm going to get my car and head south and do that game on our sister station back to Milton.
Me as well, as I got that 3-hour trip, but this was exciting. This is what we anticipated. We got everything we hoped for, and Middlebury, a big game from the defensive side of the ball. We'll see just how much that plays against Rutland, a different type of offense, more of an aired out attack. So certainly the storylines are intriguing for next week. The 1-2 in Division I, Otter Valley tomorrow goes as the one seed in their semifinal matchup, trying to get back to the state championship game in Division III. We'll have a better idea of the playoff schedule, the championship Saturday schedule, when all those semifinals are done and completed. But the final is here, 21-0, the Tigers, 32 consecutive wins, three straight trips now to the state championship game. Rich, thanks for filling in for Bjarke. Hopefully we can get him, you know, limping up some kind of stands in Rutland.
He could have both of his legs amputated, and he would be doing that game in Rutland. I assure you, I will not be seen in that booth next Saturday.
Well, it's going to be exciting, that's for sure. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for Rich. Thanks for Jim back in the station. Jim Tye doing the production of this fantastic game between the Hartford Hurricanes and the Middlebury Tigers. The Middlebury Tigers are victorious, 21-0 in the Division I state semifinal. They're headed back to Rutland to face Rutland for a third straight state championship game. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to the Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
To MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK. Tiger Football all season long on WVTK is brought to you in part by your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Virgins. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustis Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustis family of Brit Porch. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs. In Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virgins. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Poulin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barry. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desibray's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
For a complete schedule of sports heard on 92.1 WVTK and more information, visit 921WVTK.com. Thanks for listening. This has been a local sports production on Addison County's 92.1 WVTK.